This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling. So.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Oral. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Vincent's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course, as the lacrosse player. Bismarck. No, was it Bismarck? Was that his
Lizmark.
Name?
Lizmark.
Lizmark. No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
That was all right, because the lady was chill. Then we dipped to the theater, set to ill. We saw Elm Street, and man, it was death. And everything seemed all right when we left. But when I got home and laid down to sleep, that began the nightmare. But on my street...
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Tuesday evening with my PIC as always in tow, and that is Scott Criscola. Scott, how are you?
Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 339 of the Place to Be Podcast. We are on a Tuesday this week because...
You had to celebrate Christopher Columbus killing all
I
the
was-
Indians.
That's exactly. It was a special day for us, except in Seattle, where it is Indigenous Persons Day.
That's right.
Fucking weirdos. You all were in my hometown.
I was in New Haven. I was in West Hartford yesterday and New Haven today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the infamous Pepe's clam pizza, your recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent Leanne Griffin a message. I said I was thinking of her out of respect as I ate my first piece. Because mm-hmm. I know it's one of her favorites as well.
Yes.
And I was telling you the story off air, so I'll tell it really quickly here.
Sure.
And we'll bring in our esteemed co-host for the night, of course. So I didn't realize that Pepe's was about a mile walk from where we had to be.
Mm-hmm.
So Roger calls in the order, and we start to leave. And we have to be back by like 11:30 because we're meeting with this manager for lunch before she had a meeting. And it's like freaking like 11:05. So we're like, oh shit. So we start walking and like we have a mile each way. And that's assuming that the pizza's ready. So we hoof it there. We had a decent time walking there. We had to wait a few minutes in their massive oven. They unload these two large, beautiful pizzas. And we start walking back and it's warm. The sun's beating on us and we have the heat just radiating off these pizza boxes. So we're making our way through the streets of New Haven. And we get about a half mile left. We happen upon this lovely little firehouse, and the fire marshal's getting to his truck, and he kind of makes a joke about the pizza. And I said, "Hey, listen, buddy, you can have a piece if you'd just give us a ride." He's like, "Oh, where are you going?" I was like, "Oh, you know, just back about a half mile back to the office." He's like, "Yeah, hop in." So it was like the most gracious moment. It was wonderful because we were dying. So we walked in the front door at 11:30 with the pizzas, thanks to this guy's hospitality. So
nice.
It was nice to meet the New Haven fire marshal, gave us a ride home, and we were good to go. So. All right, Scott, so why don't we go ahead and bring in our special guests, and we're going to mix things up a little bit. As you know, we do the live watches here very often. We've had the 93 Raws going on, we have the 95 Nitros, and we had the 99 Smackdowns, and had is the key word there.
Mm-hmm.
Today we made an executive decision, an audible, if you will, to go ahead and mix things up. The 99 Smackdowns, we felt, didn't quite lend themselves to this format for a couple of reasons. One, it is a really good program, so there wasn't a ton to just kind of bust on like we have with the Raws, or the unique feel wasn't there like they are with the Nitros. And secondly, there's a lot of talking. a lot of promos, a lot of backstage interviews.
And good promos, most for the most part. So
right, and they were fun, but like a 19-minute Austin Triple H Rock promo isn't conducive to this. As much fun as they are to watch. So the other and the third problem is that they're not all up on the network. So at some point we're going to bump into a wall. So we said, you know what, let's just bail now on those. Mm-hmm. And we'll do something that's a little more fun because we're now going to touch on an era that we haven't really delved too far into on the show. We had some pay-per-views in this time frame, but not a lot. And kind of goes hand-in-hand with our Vintage Vault refreshes that are going up this time frame to get back into. 99, I thought, was played out for us. So we are heading back to 1985, and we're going to start doing all the Saturday Night Main Events with this track of the rewatches. So if you remember the three gentlemen that we had with us for SmackDown, we're now going to hop on the Saturday Night's Main Event train. And speaking of trains, I know it's his favorite thing to do is run trains, and that is, of course, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. Greeny, how you doing?
What's going on, guys? And thank you so much for not referring to me as the Ebola virus, a place to be nation.
That's right.
There's a few others that deserve that title. So. Yes.
So, Greeny, welcome back, as always. Let's also bring in the sometimes co-host of the main event, although it's been quite a while, I think, since he's been on there. Occasional funny man, and he does his little jokes on the five count here and there, and that is, of course, my compadre, my consigliere of the Seinfeld rewatches, and that is Aaron George. Aaron, how you doing?
I am great.
Awesome.
Good. That's enough. Good. Leave it at that. Don't say another thing for the next 90 minutes. That's perfect. No, just kidding.
Jesus, guys, we're starting out strong here. It's good.
Very strong.
Crappy Canadian phone line.
Take what? The pen! All right. And finally here with us is, of course, the luminous one. Is it luminous? Is that a word? Luminous? Illustrious? We'll go illustrious. The illustrious one, the co-host of PTBN's Extra Points, the hit sports show here at the website, and, of course, my longtime close personal friend, the one and only Dr. G, George Ribolino. How you doing, George?
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. I've never been called illustrious. That's a new one.
I like illuminous.
But I'm looking forward to seeing all this 80s hair tonight. This is exciting.
You've been very luminous and lupidus.
Scott still sports 70s hair down where?
Yes, down my Jackie Moon fro is in full force right now.
Down there. All right, so we are queued up here. Scott, what's the date on this bad boy? It's the air date, right?
Season premiere, or the all-time premiere, May 11th, 1985.
Very good. So we are paused here.
Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale, New York.
And we're paused on the first screenshot, which is Cyndi Lauper and Wendi Richter looking ecstatic. And we are ecstatic as well because we're going to go ahead and hit play. We're going to count ourselves down. We'll dive right in. Greeny's going to be our audio man of the night. We get some all new categories we'll discuss as we launch into this thing. And hopefully everyone's ready to go. So, gentlemen, on the count of three, we're going to go ahead and start this up. 3, 2, play. So this is, of course, the infamous opening promos that Saturday Night's Main Event would be come to know for, is these little setting up all the matches with the various competitors. So, Scott, why don't you take a minute and tell us the categories we're looking at here.
Okay, well, we already have a nominee for the first category, and that is Ace Hair. And that is, of course, Cyndi Lauper right there with her 80s hair. We also, of course, have Best Match.
Your 80s hair again, right?
And there's a guy with no hair next to him. No.
I'd argue Mr. T is this most 80s, like just the idea of Mr. T.
Yes. We have Best Match. We have Best Federation Era Moment, you know, something that just reminds you of 1985 to 1992 in WWF. Most 80s just in general, whether it's person or moment or and of course, Best Hair. And so far, we obviously have two nominees. We're also going to do something separate called we're going to do a list of all the guys that are in matches on these shows, and if they would have been a world champion in modern day, because as Dr. G likes to lament, everybody's a world champion at this point.
Right. So we'll say if they debuted like after 08, we'll call it the Dolph Ziggler era, would they have been a world champion? So
now, Greeny, I'm guessing that they dubbed out the awesome Animotion's obsession with something generic, I imagine, correct?
Well, no, they have the Saturday Night's Main Event opening that started, I think, in late 87.
Okay,
the one that we got to know is, you know, as the years went on.
Yeah, the first 2 years, thus the reason I use it for the open of Place to Be Nation.
Okay, I'm going to start dubbing and go over those. We'll edit it out like 3 weeks after it airs on the main event.
Yes. So there we are. There's the Nassau Veterans Memorial. Hey, Aaron George, there's your flag hanging from the ceiling there.
There's someone pissing on it. Look at that guy with his Corporal Kircher beret on. The kid.
I already saw a guy with a Mets t-shirt. That's
I saw
80s.
Jim Price's mom. We're off to a good start.
Jim Price's Jesse.
This has got to be for one of our Federation moments. Jesse standing in pink screaming into the microphone.
Dr. G, don't you and I wear those tuxes for our exemplifications?
Oh, I love those tuxes. Nothing better than that.
I think we wear those, don't we? We wear those with our chicken hats. Anyway, there's Jesse and, of course, Vince. Let me go around the horn. JR, do you think Jesse had more chemistry with Vince or with Gorilla?
Ah, that's an awful question. By awful, I mean just really hard. It's just different chemistry, you know? Like, him and Gorilla are like two old war veterans arguing, kind of. Like, they've been through the battles, and they talk about their days. And him and Vince were more like different brothers. Like, Jesse's like the jock brother, and Vince is kind of like the goofy nerd.
I agree with you. I feel like Vince and Jesse would have the chemistry that Gorilla and Bobby would have later.
Why don't you know that? I just think it's more that Gorilla and Jesse are like buddies that argue, and Gorilla and Jesse and Vince are like family that have to be together. You know, so Jesse kind of picks on him, and Vince is kind of the dopey. And just speaking of annoyance, I don't know if anyone
speaking of most
'80s
here's JR's favorite manager next to Frenchie Martin.
I think this is, you know what most '80s is? Lou Albano glomming onto every hot tag team. To me, that's my most '80s moment. Here he is with my grandmother's kitchen duster thing on.
Lou Albano can use a bra.
Jesus.
Yes. Oof. Yeah, he's rough. Of course, the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff defeated the U.S. Express about a month and a half earlier at WrestleMania 1 to become tag team champions.
I'd say Rotundo's got some nice perm hair going on.
Yes. Yeah.
Rotundo also hasn't blinked.
just looked down.
It's a pretty awesome tag team. I mean, no surprise that Albano's hanging around. Barry Windham, Mike Rotundo, and Ricky Steamboat. Pretty awesome way to kick off your first show against George Steele, Sheik, and Volkoff. So let's quickly update the tick sheet. So these six men, and let's give a quick yay or nay. We'll go majority rules. Nikolai Volkoff, Mr. Aaron George.
No.
Okay, George?
We have to get him back.
All right, Greeny?
No.
All right, Scott?
No.
Okay, so that's a pretty firm no
now
there.
Does that speak that we not believe Rusev is ever going to be champ then?
No, I think Rusev has a better connection to the crowd, and by that I mean he has two very big assets that will help him.
And Rusev's also not 50 years old.
That's true.
He's also not 50. Like,
and I love Nikolai. Look, I'm a Nikolai guy. So instead of going on the horn every time, I'm just going to tell the name, and if we get more than two yeses yelled out, we'll take an informal poll. So
now that you're back on, do you think we just asked? Do you think Nikolai Volkoff would be a world champion now?
No. I don't think now. Just if he looked the same way, now that's not the look that Vince is going for.
Yeah, I think that, and that's the caveat
I
we got to do.
A U.S. champ.
Well, I think the caveat we got to say is they come in like they are here. So no repackaging, no extra. This is the package they come as. They're transported from 1985 into 2009. So how about Iron Sheik? Anyone want to back him?
Neither one of those guys ever get on TV now. They don't look nearly good enough.
Sheik may. I thought Sheik was pretty good at this point, look wise. He didn't really get kind of fat and sloppy until a little bit later.
Yeah, I think Sheik could have been world champion today.
Okay, so I'll put Iron Sheik down. I'm just going to write down on the list the guys that I'm not going to write everybody down. I'm just going to write down
the guys.
He was a little bit better of a heel than Nikolai,
and he could work too. I mean, he was a really good wrestler, just the amateur style and the power style. I think he could have connected as kind of a powerhouse guy. He's a little short, but.
Yeah, but does he have the promos to what they look for today? Because now he got to do both, right?
Well, wouldn't he be almost bigger today in this whole YouTube internet meme era with his ranting and his craziness? I mean,
is it with his body from the '80s, but his crazy?
Well, even then though, he had the good promos with Aqua and the all that shit. Yes. Like that was his. I mean, I think he was over the top even then. Not like it is now, where I bust the pussy of the Scott Proctor. I don't know.
Of course, Scott Proctor. Of course, George Animal Steel still a heel here.
Yes,
would not last long in the next couple minutes.
I'm going to vote an emphatic no on George Steel. I don't think he goes anywhere near any title.
No, absolutely
I'm
no.
Second that.
No. No, no way.
Greedy, what do you think of Wyndham? I would say that's an easy yes.
Yes.
Oh, Wyndham easily. And even Wyndham and Rotundo as tag champions in this era would work.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Blassie and someone would be tag champions today.
Yeah, <true. laughs> I'm yes on Rotundo as well. He'd get a swagger, 3-day ring kind of thing.
I know you definitely agree, Dr. G, on both Wyndham and Rotundo. I mean, they were in your house, so.
In your house tonight.
Yeah, no, I definitely think Wyndham. Rotundo, I'm not sure about. Wyndham had that, like, that sex appeal with all the girls.
Well, I would,
at that time.
I would say Wyndham would have been, like, a long-term champion material. I think Rotundo is like a 3 week, 4 week swagger-esque, like, you know, yeah, this guy's like been around for a while. He can go. He's proficient. He's got
like a transitional champion.
Right. Yep.
Rotundo wins the money in the bank. Is that it?
Yes. He wins the money in the bank and then, yeah.
Cashes in and then keeps it till like TLC or something and then loses.
Cena beats him.
Yeah.
And I think
Steamboat. So that would be Rotundo would have to be a heel unless he was VK Wall Street.
I'd say Steamboat's a definite yes, right? Obviously.
Oh, no, 100% yes.
Yeah. Just not in those tights, though. Nothing works about those tights.
This is pre-long pants for the Dragon. So he is pretty new here, right, Scott? He had just debuted in, what, like February or something?
Yeah, oh, definitely. He's at least for most of 85, he's still wearing his NWA boots and NWA tights. I would say by 86, when he starts feuding with Morocco and Jake, does he start wearing like those blue long pants, like the blue long tights, and then right. Because definitely by the summertime of 86, when he really gets his feud started with Macho Man, he's got the long blue, and then he goes to the white and everything. So probably wears the NWA leftovers till definitely like February or March of 86. Because he's got them on by WrestleMania 2, when he fights Hercules, I think he has the long tights.
No, I don't even think he was using the Dragon nickname at this point.
No, definitely not.
No. Yeah. No, he's not the Dragon, I think, till he starts feuding with Macho Man.
No, I think, because they had the.
Is it Jake? Oh yeah,
well, they had the Komodo Dragon.
The Komodo Dragon.
So it's like June, I think he starts because they.
It might have been before that because wasn't he doing the kung fu matches against Fuji when he was feuding against Morocco?
Right. Yeah.
I don't think the Dragon was used yet though. I mean, he definitely was doing the kung fu. I think the Dragon started after that. It might have been there though, Scott.
It wasn't that whole like Bruce Lee connection they were doing and everything.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. I don't remember them being actually called Dragon though. We will, of course, see the Siren's main event way on down the line that he gets
George Steele can't even take a hip toss.
Oh, George Steele's awful.
Yeah, God.
He's always been one of my least favorite. I don't hate too many wrestlers, but he's just one I just never understood the appeal.
You didn't find him endearing when he had mine with him?
Oh, God.
Anybody know? I know, JR, you remember, but any of our other three panelists, do you remember the referee's name?
Dick Kroll or something?
Sorry, Dick Kroll. Referee there Dick you go. Kroll. There you go. Very good.
That was a cool camera shot we got. It was a few minutes ago, Scott, when you were going through the discussion on Steamboat. It was like from the corner of the crowd, and it was just like looking under the bottom rope almost. I don't know if anyone else caught it. It was only for like 20 seconds, but it was pretty unique. You don't see that too much.
Well, that's like an old school apron banner there.
Well, you could tell they're definitely trying to show off like the camera and like the cuts and the different angles. I think they were really trying to put on a show for the new NBC late night crowd. Yep.
Pretty sweet. So
you have to say that was big at this time when Dick Ebersol, produced this and put this on. It was the first time I think since like the 50s when the Dumont Network had wrestling in prime time. So I thought that this was like groundbreaking. In the 80s, and to take that risk. And I think sometimes the ratings were higher for this than it was for Saturday Night Live at that time.
Definitely.
Here's something that's very old school, not quite 80s, even before the 80s, but you have the New York State Athletic Commission sitting ringside.
That's right, yes. I like that that Nikolai has the old school, like Sears white socks with the old striped socks.
A lot of them wore them at this time. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Everybody had those.
I go down to the Kmart to get the socks.
So, Dr. G, this was after like Wyndham and Rotundo, like you met them, right? You met them when they were working for Florida, right?
When they were in Florida, back in like, I think like 83,
okay.
84.
Okay.
Around that time.
How did they lose Wyndham? Did he just leave or?
The story was they both were offered contracts with Crockett and Wyndham just left. He just left. Rotundo, they still had obligations with WWF, and Wyndham said, screw you, I'm leaving. And Rotundo said, I'm going to leave too, but I'm going to fill out my dates. And he ended up teaming with Dan Spivey and a couple of the guys on the way out. So that's why when Rotundo came back, he got a good gimmick like IRS, and every time Wyndham came back, he got the Stalker and the Widowmaker, which only JR would love.
Yes.
But are they really better than IRS as gimmicks?
I know, right?
Like, well,
it was just Rotunda made it work.
Yeah, and it was, and he was in Main Event, and okay, was the Widowmaker a future tag team champion?
No.
Or the Stalker? No. But IRS was, so.
Well, it's more about the push than the gimmick, though. I mean, they could have pushed the Widowmaker to a tag title role. I mean,
right.
And he still looked really good as the Widowmaker. He didn't get fat and not give a shit until the Stalker level stuff.
Well, I guess the closest they to won the straps was when he was one of the new Blackjacks, I guess. So. But,
what great days those were for the tag division.
Wyndham was so tall when he did that sunset flip before they landed like almost outside the ring.
And he Wyndham gets the roll up. God. And the six-man baby faces with the big win.
See, this gets hosed by being in this slot on this show, because if this was like a house show match and they gave him 20 minutes or something, this could have been really, really good. As is, it was decent, but I mean, it was really short.
Yeah.
How long was it, Scott, total?
According to Wikipedia, it was 6.5.
Yeah, so pretty quick for the level of talent. And now Sheik Volkov beating up Steel, as they should.
It looks like popcorn in those turnbuckles. Like stuffing or whatever.
Like Cheetos.
Yeah. Now George Steele fights back, and we have the big epic face turn here that will change the face of the... No, not really.
So this is the official turn here?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it starts Sheik turning now, this main event off big, you know?
Yep. Big face turn.
Big useless bullshit.
Oh, there's some old ladies in there.
Justin's so excited about this.
Oh, these are like my two least favorite people in wrestling in the ring right now, Lou Albano and George Steele. Awful pairing. Well,
there are some old ladies in the front row.
Wow, even Captain Lou, huh?
Look at that one in the pink.
It's like a Criscolo singles night out there.
Wow, gee, there was a guy in the back with a blue sweater that looked just like Evad. That's not a compliment. So now he's consoling George. And
That's nice. That's lovely.
I hate Albano. Sheik is the man, though.
He's gonna run.
I love Blassie with his evil landlord sunglasses,
like Morty Seinfeld glasses on. Yes. So off to a decent start here. So I guess by default, the Star Bash of the night. We'll see if it changes. We got Gene in the runway here, ready to talk to Sheik and Volkov.
I love how Volkov is still staggering.
Yes,
sell to the end, babes.
Yes, master psychology, right there. Uh oh.
Now, guys, I don't know if you guys were NWA fans as well, and I know we're a little older than you guys, but I hated when they changed the names of the guys. It used to drive me nuts. You know, Ricky Steamboat's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, or the Harley Race is the King Harley Race.
Well, the story, you know what it is?
It used to drive me nuts.
The names weren't so much annoyed me, and JR and I, you and I have talked about this on past shows of various topics. It's not that. It's the whole that they don't, that Vince never recognized their pasts. Like, we were supposed to forget when Harley Race came that he was a past seven-time NWA champion. He was just some old dude who ended up winning a crown. Those were even more than the names, the fact that we never were able to acknowledge their pasts. That was the annoying part. And now, of course, another one of your favorite guys, Dr. G, the Hot Rod. Wow, and there's a rare alternate Hot Rod t-shirt without the red borders on the collar.
Orndorff here on Piper's Pit.
Yep.
Those shorts are doing Orndorff no favors.
That's 1985.
No. There's an 80s moment right there.
Yes.
I'd say the socks are more 80s.
The whole, he's just wearing white.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, if you slap an awkward polo on and take away some of the hair on top, like that's an Armento outfit with those socks and shoes.
Some of the hair.
Does Orton need to be wearing those chaps too?
He's a cowboy.
Oh, I never noticed the chaps before. That's hilarious.
He needs to get Roger the chaps.
Yes. I think Roger would rock a leather vest.
So I'm guessing two out of three on these guys for titles, champions, by the way. I don't know if Cowboy Bob would be. I think Orndorff and Piper. Not because of lack of skill for Orton. I just don't know if seems like a guy that people would say,
Orndorff and Piper, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you. Orton is like a solid IC US champ, though, definitely.
He'd be like Denzel's friend and not quite Denzel.
Yes.
I mean, these guys, I mean, Piper didn't win the Intercontinental belt until later on. It's amazing to me that, I mean, these guys, to win a belt in WWE or WWF at the time was really a tough thing. And now they just give everybody a belt.
Orndorff getting very belligerent. Obviously, Jesus. Of course, this dates back to what happened at WrestleMania when Orndorff was pinned by Hulk Hogan, and Piper and Orton just kind of left him in the ring to rot there.
Yeah, they. So this is the first time they really had like interaction since then.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
I think this is a big Federation thing. Look how defined the characters are in this ring. Mm-hmm. There's a guy in a kilt, a cowboy, and a gay tennis player.
Von Lendl.
poor Orndorff.
I think the 80s, too, is the hair over the ears, like in the back of those haircuts.
Wings, yes.
I mean, Orndorff has like a legit like action figure like model number A72 hairpiece on, you know, they just pull it off the assembly line and drop it.
Everybody in that back, everybody that we see in the crowd in the back all have the same hair. They all have that fluffed, men or women, that fluffed blonde. They all look like Orndorff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. That dude in the middle with the Giants t-shirt on.
Yeah, and the guy with the black hair has the shittiest little mustache.
Yes, looks like another guy looks like John Oates.
Listen, buddy, it's the 80s. We need a mustache, okay?
We need a mustache. Come on, John Oates. Oh, good grief. Who's that dude to the left that's got like the bandana around his neck? Or what is that, a tie? What the hell is that?
I'm really glad we got away from the promos of the 1999 SmackDowns.
I know, right?
Yeah. Greeny, what's Piper telling him that he's a bum? What's the scoop here?
Hang on, let me catch up on this.
You're gonna get the closed captioning on. We learned that through.
Yeah, we learned that on the night on the Raws. Yeah, if he puts the captioning on.
Piper's telling him if you want to fight me, you can fight me.
That sounds like Stu Hart. If you had it to pay me.
That was good, Aaron. I like your Stu impersonation. Sounds like Albano in a promo. Yeah. Oh wow! I'm gonna scan this crowd for more. And here we go. Ooh, wow, that's an elbow. That was a stiff elbow to the jaw.
Oof.
Katie, bar the door.
What's that kid in the Giants t-shirt? Just no selling all this. Oh, good. We get to see Piper's underwear. Oh, lovely.
Here comes T. Has he got a nightclub with him? I mean, a nightclub. A nightstick with him? To get the Mirage nightclub with
no,
him?
No, it's a pole. It looks like a pole work.
It's the
Rude would hit Warrior with.
That's what it
later.
Is. It's the weight thing, yeah.
Now just put an iron in the back.
All right, boy.
This could be a pretty fun tag match here.
Come on, I'm not touching you. Come on, fool. I'm not touching your shorts.
So what do we think? We see like T here from most 80s, or are we going? Yeah.
The pants, the tights, the Adidas stripes down is perfect.
I don't know. I'm still on board with my Albedo glomming on the heat of everyone for most
of the heat of everyone who's a winner. Yeah.
Oh, that's most Federation era. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's most Federation era.
When we do most 80s, that's more about look.
Yeah.
Does Bob Orton have hepatitis yet here?
I don't know what night he contracted it.
There's probably someone
such
on
an optimist you are, Aaron, coming in tonight.
It was November 88 at the, come along in Detroit.
Someone on the board will tell us on the Facebook group.
Yes.
Neat jeans.
Oh, actually, it was November 15th, 1989 that he was.
I have a 67 set of that.
You can email Graham and tell him to put it in his wife writing. After the match, Cowboy Bob obtained hepatitis.
Come on, Daddy. I'm a 67 disc set. Here's our World Wrestling Federation champion.
So big Hogan promo here, his first appearance. And a big deal. Wasn't always on TV at this point, right?
Oh, right. I mean, really, he was never on Superstars. Maybe taped interviews, but rarely on Superstars or... He wasn't ever even on Primetime. Maybe occasionally they'd have a tag match. Although I don't even think Primetime... Had Primetime debuted by then? Take a look. I don't think Primetime even started yet.
For us up here, we didn't get Primetime. So, like, seeing Hogan wrestle on TV was like a once-in-a-year thing.
Let's see.
You didn't really miss much.
Debuted New Year's Day, 1985.
What was that, primetime?
Yeah. Yeah. January 1st night. So primetime had only been about 5 months old at this point. I'm trying to see who started. The original hosts were... Let me ask, see if Dr. G remembers this. Do you remember the guy that started with... it was Jesse. Do you remember the guy that the other host, Jay? Remember that goofy guy with the glasses?
Primetime?
Yeah. Do you remember that goofy guy with the glasses?
I don't remember the name.
Jack Reynolds. He was the original co-host with Jesse.
Jack Reynolds.
Jack Reynolds. And then, of course, Gorilla replaced him. And then, of course, Bobby replaced Jesse in 1986. So primetime had been about 5 months old at this point. There is, of course, our champion coming to the ring.
I really like how they're just flowing from one match to the next. Like Orton and Piper have been in the ring the whole time. Is someone working on a typewriter? What is that?
You got a deadline to meet, okay?
Yeah, see, we got to get the news, the early edition.
Hogan and Cowboy Bob. So I'm guessing Hogan would be a champion, right? Nowadays, yeah. I mean, he may be soon, as it is.
Yeah. Who's this referee? Never seen this guy.
No, they clearly just found him drinking at the VFW next door.
Yes, he was at that bar. That bar he's across the street.
He's from the New York State Athletic Commission.
Yeah.
Let me finish this Miller Lite, and I'll hit the ring in a minute.
Coming up, Hulk Hogan!
Yeah, T in the corner, Piper in Cowboy Bob's corner.
Of course, these were glorified... these were glorified house shows, so I'm curious. I'll look on the history
Vince
of...
Vince just had an orgasm for them ripping each other's shirts off.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's
look at that form!
This is Vince we're talking about here.
Hogan's, like, freaking winded already.
So, all right. So I'm going to go to...
Dorian going to wrestle in his chaps?
I'm going to go to that guy Graham and find his website. And see what the rest of this card was. Let's see.
Well, not the rest of the Stardust main event. You can't spoil it.
No, I'm not going to spoil that. I'm going to see if there's other... Maybe I'll wait till after the card's over. But let me see if I can at least find it.
Well, I want to say you guys are doing a great job by plan because I want to take my computer right now and throw it out the window because I keep freezing up.
I tell you, the network has been funny.
Every 2 seconds, I keep freezing up. So thank God for your play-by-play, and I have seen this before because...
Yeah, I've had some issues. I'll tell you something. The network in a lot of places has been staggering a lot lately. At work, when I'm listening to it in the background.
Now, hang on, because this is how rumors get started. And before you know it, 411 Mania has an article saying that the network is
sucking.
Just because your work one is slow doesn't mean and Jesus is running a little shaky.
Up out of promotion. You're the one that's blowing up.
You just said the network has been bad in a lot of places lately.
Yeah, and I'm giving you those two places.
All right, so far we have two places. Where else is a lot? A lot. I mean, this is, you know.
You're giving too much credit to those guys.
There's like 700,000 subscribers, so a lot is like, 500 of the 700.
George doesn't have it.
Hey, did you guys hear that Barry Windham banged Linda McMahon?
Caliber Winfield.
That'll be on Bleacher Report tomorrow.
I know, Caliber Winfield already has an article up on 411 about it. barely Aaron barely said it. My Roku has always been flawless. That's the one thing I can say. My Roku sticks like never have a problem.
Yeah, my Apple TV has been perfect.
So from what I hear, a lot of places have been running real well lately with the network.
My old YouTube clip is great.
Texting WrestleChat.net right now. Hey?
Aaron has to go out and unfreeze the lines, right, to get to the internet. Is that how that works?
Yeah. Aaron, I'm ready to join you and
hey,
go back on YouTube.
Two places, the network feed is terrible. Report that it's 2 from 500.
Report that a lot of places are struggling.
Here's the dark matches for
it's supposed to be the guy who's reporting on Ebola rather than 7 people in the country. Oh my God, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Well, no network and death are
everyone's
too
dying.
7 people that could kill us all is 7 people too many. So, all right. So here are the dark matches of this card. Salvatore Bellomo pinned Johnny Rods.
I'll tell you, we also
have
a DVD.
Wow, I can't believe we missed that.
Les Thornton pinned Rick McGraw. Big John Studd pinned Tony Garea. Jose Luis Rivera pinned Charlie Fulton. And Moondog Spot pinned Steve Lee.
All right, a couple of things in this match. Well, just quick, a couple of spots in this match so far. Hogan working Orndorff's casted arm was pretty cool. He's like banging into the post. Something you don't always see of him. And then Orton just threw a really nice drop kick on Hogan.
Yeah. Mm. But up to this point, Hogan's been just killing him.
Orton's obviously the better worker, clearly. So now Orton getting his we have our heel heat segment here.
When Orton threw that dropkick, he didn't use his legs. He kicked him with his knees.
Oh wow!
It's almost like a knee drop. Yeah.
Mm. Nice. Atomic drop.
Yep. Do we think it was a prostitute or a blood transfusion for Orton that gave him the hepatitis?
Jesus Christ. I'm gonna say it was bad. I'm gonna say it was bad fish.
Dirty toilet seat.
It was the massive number of four people whose network sucked, and then they had to get something else. And
I'm saying it was bad fish. Next,
ooh, I better email Peck about that. Bad fish causes network freezing.
Bad fish infects entire Orton family with hepatitis. And that's why he held down Kofi Kingston.
Yes. We're really working Hogan's neck and shoulder with some knee drops.
Mm-hmm. I like the green tights.
Boy, those are some ugly dudes in the New York State Athletic Commission. That's a guy with the...
There's just a lot of ugly people in general in the 80s.
Yes. The crowd is not... The crowd is not very flattering.
It's like the 90s you have like fat people and there's like weird clothing. The 80s are just kind of ugly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people without
Dee Snider was a sex symbol in the 80s.
Yeah, like we've clearly evolved our looks over.
What'd you say, G? People without teeth in the 90s?
People without teeth.
There weren't much teeth in the 80s either, to be
honest.
That's
more the coke they did in the 80s. Fucking teeth all rotted.
Yeah, all rotted like those with there's Howard.
Is that how that works? I don't know. Sounds like it would.
Howard at the side. Ooh, look at that honey right there. Woohoo! There we go.
What is the New York Athletic Commission actually doing there?
They commission athletics.
Stopping matches due to blood loss.
Thanks,
Justin. That's what happens in every NWA title match. They stop matches due to blood loss.
They commission dusty athletics.
Dusty finishes, baby.
Yes.
I'm going to give you a dusty finish right now, baby. That's how Orton got hepatitis. Too many dusty finishes.
Yes. Wait a minute. Are you saying Dusty Rhodes had sex with Randy Aaron?
Yes, thanks, Aaron. Yes. Needed it explained. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, Dusty was always known for that. My first wrestling card ever back in the early 80s.
No, for what?
Was Ric Flair versus and Dusty Rhodes got hit with a microphone stand and his arm got blood on it and they stopped the match. I'm like, that wasn't even 5 minutes.
And then Bob Orton took a straw and had a drink and now he's got hepatitis.
Drank Dusty's blood. Get on. Did it, G? It didn't like spray into the crowd, right?
All right, so here's a million-dollar idea, multi-million-dollar idea for any promotion out there. So Gangrel comes back, vampire, right, leading a stable. And it turns out he's got AIDS from drinking someone's blood.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
Yeah, because that's what we need, a sad vampire on TV.
A sad, HIV-ridden vampire.
All right, Aaron, why don't you get the Montreal State Athletic Commissioner, Montreal.
I would have been surprised if Vince and Pat Patterson were sitting in a room more than one time and pitched around having an HIV character.
Oh, sure.
Well, Jesus, there was rumors that that Stephanie's child was going to be Shane's kid, so it's possible that.
I thought you were going to say Stephanie's kid was going to have AIDS.
I know. I don't know what kind of dirt sheet Scott's reading lately, but... Everyone's network sucks, well, Scott, and Stephanie and Shane are having kids in incest. Yes.
Jeff Peck, .. an idea.
Leave the pecker out of this. Hogan, so he has Orton pinned with a leg drop, but Piper punches him in the eye. Looks like we're going to get a disqualification here. Going to protect Orton on Saturday's main event.
And, of course, Piper's got to get his licks in.
Here comes T, pushing Piper back to the corner. Good little brawl here. So it's cool that they're keeping this feud simmering with these guys, you know, keeping T in the picture.
I feel like Piper's totally no-selling those body blows.
Oh, he doesn't give a shit. Now he's giving vicious Adam Murray-like kicks to the back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, whenever I see them fighting, I just imagine that Piper's stiffing him for real because he hates him.
He might have.
He does.
Why does T have two different shoes on?
No, his shoe is off, isn't it?
Oh, okay. About to say. It would have been even better.
Oh, maybe it is two shoes. I can't tell. I thought it was just a sock, like his shoe fell off.
No, that's definitely two shoes.
Orndorff's back. Trying to help out his new friends.
With his nice shorts. Aaron George tennis shorts.
I think I know my Halloween costume. Montreal Tennis Club. Paul Orndorff, 1985.
This is Montreal Tennis Club in the shorts.
See, there's the million-dollar idea. You market those shorts.
Oh, we have
more Hulk and Mr. T coming up, guys.
Big women's title match.
Here we go. Rematch from, well, not a rematch, actually. Well, a rematch from a year before.
Wait, so is there a match or no? What should, because Mula's wearing like a raincoat.
She's getting ready for a bra and panties match.
Yeah, that's her ring gear. Wait, I got to see how old. So how old do you think Mula is at this point? 1985.
Probably at least 55, I'd say.
What? Is no one else hearing the typewriter?
I hear the typewriter. Is it Greenhouse? Is that you on the typewriter?
No, not me.
Let's see. She was
Scott would make the most sense.
But I'm not typing anything. It was born in 19. She was born in 1923, so she was.
Come on.
She was 62 at that point.
No, that's young for her. And she's some kind of scroll, some kind of decree. I mean, just absurd, right, that they even bother to have to do this shit on TV at this point. Like, they needed a women's division this badly to have this shit out there.
So, what are you guys, what's on with you guys right now? Because I have an original version and there's a music video.
No, we're up to Mula's entrance.
Mula's coming into the ring right now.
Because there's a music video for Shebop playing right now.
Yeah, but no, we don't get that, apparently.
Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkoff are in
there. Is that of the Canadian Air?
I'm upset that I'm missing that. That's the song from the Goonies, right? No. That's
On Skinny Bop.
No,
not on Skinny Bop.
That's Rocksteady and Bebop.
Lanny Kai.
Shmula. This video is so racist, too. They just pass by a bunch of Asian cooks who can't speak properly. You guys are really missing out. I'm going to fast forward.
You guys need math done? Come on into our restaurant.
No tiki no washi.
Okay, that's it.
David Wolf has my vote for most 70s look.
What? Yeah, right? Most stuck in the past, David Wolf.
Are you at the Lopper promo? Is that it?
Yes, we're on the Lopper promo.
Okay, good. Yeah, David Wolf. Have we talked about Richter for 80s hair? Because that's pretty perfect, too.
I don't know. Lauper's got her beat. All 12 colors. It's a very nice, whatever that is, cape she has on. There, Aaron, you feel better now?
Yeah.
There you go.
I needed to see Mula dancing around to ring to that song.
Babuji.
Shee-boppy bop.
But I don't even know if that's the song from Goonies. Isn't the song from Goonies Good Enough?
Good Enough is a song from the Goonies, yeah.
Yeah.
But is it? Is it good enough?
That's the question the song asks.
Wow, that guy just got hit. That fan just got decked in the jaw by one of those security dudes.
Hey, you can't touch
the Long Island. He probably deserves it.
Yeah, I feel like they were really instructed to just fuck up anyone who tried to touch Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah, I'm sure. Was she carrying the magazine with her? I don't know what's worse, that or Mula Scroll. Oh, here we go, stomping all over the magazine. Hey, that's my porno mag.
What do you suppose the referee is reading? He's got some sort of paper in his hands.
That's Mula's scroll. She had that during her promo. I don't know what the hell it is. It's her decree.
Nope. Let's put the captioning on and see.
The thing's going to read it, it looks like.
See what it's all about.
This scroll says, in 15 years, I will be living in a house very overweight and being made fun of by Roddy Piper.
Watching Tony Atlas making chitlins.
Ladies and gentlemen, before this match, Cowboy Bob Orton contracted hepatitis C.
He has now infected the entire locker room.
How did he get it, though?
He is secretly a vampire, and now he has AIDS and is very sad.
Created the due to flagrant and repeated interference from outside.
Wendy and Cindy. Too many
if you're
eyes.
Sitting in section 312, seat 4, row 11, you now have HIV.
There was a stain on the seat.
Please
Cindy
report.
Looks like Cindy has been ejected from the ringside area.
Good.
Sorry. Her and her bullet belt or whatever.
Actually, I like Cindy Lauper. She was she did a great job with this whole thing. Is she in the Hall of Fame yet?
No.
No.
She should be. Yeah, she should be.
Yeah.
Oh, look at
well,
that
it's also a very long time before T got in too, right?
He's been in for a few years now, right? Oh, no, this year.
No,
it feels like
year.
It.
It seems like it because it seemed like his speech was very.
Yeah.
That's why.
Well, he kept refusing. I don't know if Lauper's refusing or
kind of surprised Cindy Lauper's not in yet.
Yeah. I mean, she should be at some point. I like how she's just sitting in the aisle
I
with
mean,
a
she
TV
was really one...
desk. Yeah, got you.
She was a big part of this era.
Absolutely. She was the first one. She was. She
yeah,
ushered
it
in from
mainstream.
Yeah, she was pretty much the MTV half of that whole combination.
Well, and it's not, I don't think they're on bad terms. Wasn't she on the show a couple years ago, too?
Yes, yeah, you're right, she was. And Michael Cole has buried the shit out of her, so maybe that's why.
Fucking asshole.
So Moolah went by the nickname Slave Girl Moolah. That's just when you and her dated, right, Scott?
Yeah, but her and Judy had a thing, so I had to kick them both out. And then Donna Cristinello came in after that.
So should we do, like, sexiest bathing suit? Is an award? You think Moolah just went down to was a JCPenney and picked that out off the rack?
How about how much would we how much money would you have to get paid to have sex with Moolah?
Like at what age?
I don't know.
Like this Moolah?
Like, yeah, this Moolah. Like how much would you demand?
Well, what's my status? Am I Scott or am I me?
You're you, and people have to see
am I
it.
Dan McGinn?
What is wrong with you?
Am I Dan McGinn?
What the? I mean,
because if I'm Dan McGinn, I'm going on a Carino
McGinn,
show bitching about it, and then probably just banging her.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
What?
No, that is the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life.
What do you mean?
Who would answer that?
I just did. If I'm Dan McGinn,
well, that was dumb. Oh my god.
So you're saying you would just do it for free?
Don't riled up here.
Yeah, Scott, what's the problem?
Are you saying you'll just do it for free, Scott?
Who asks a question like that, though?
Well, it's true.
Wendy Richter's the better-looking one in the ring, for Christ's sakes. You're asking about Moolah and her JCPenney bathing suit?
But that's what I'm saying, because you'd have sex
with Wendy Richter. I got it at Woolworth.
You wouldn't need to be paid to have sex with Wendy Richter.
That's true.
Yeah.
Hugo Savinovich gets to do it every night.
Did. They're divorced.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Well, maybe they still do. Who knows? Maybe they just didn't want to be married. Huh?
Wendy Savinovich.
Anyway, I just wanted to see what you guys' price was.
Hey, she made amends. I mean, she hated the company for so many years, and she eventually made amends and is in the Hall of Fame now.
Well, look, some of us are just looking for that special girl. That we're going to treat right.
Oh, good grief.
I think that White Sapphire here in the front row has probably been the most interactive fan.
White Sapphire. Oh, man.
Wendy's really taking it to Moolah here. I mean, some of these moves are surprised they didn't just bust like Moolah's hip or her bones. I mean, she must have really staved off osteoporosis here somehow. You think Moolah was juicing at this point?
Juicing what?
Prunes.
Kale pectate?
Prunes.
Prunes? No wonder the bathing suit's dark.
Took a nice shot of Metamucil before the show.
Yes, just to be safe. Who's the one there with the turban? Who's that guy next to her? They're all state athletic commissioners?
Yes.
Wow, hire anybody.
They came over from the UN.
Oh, small package. And
that's
and not
it.
A very good Thank one, you. And she gets the pin.
Here comes Cindy running back to the ring. Celebrate with her girl, Wendy.
With her bullet belt.
Oof, that fan is like decked her in the face.
That's the guy that, that's the same. Oh, wow. That's the same guy who popped, got popped by the security guy.
Cindy and Wendy are going to make out. David Wolf's going to film it.
Yeah, that's right.
by 70 porn haircut.
Excuse me, I have to go film a scene for Almost Famous. I'll be back.
Dick Kroll, you want some of this?
Dick Kroll's the golden god.
Dick Kroll does sound like a porn name.
It does.
And starring Dick Kroll as the referee.
I think I'd probably sleep with Moolah for about $1,000.
is that American or Canadian?
You're Canadian. Paying or they're paying? Or she's paying?
No, someone's paying me. Oh,
I thought you were paying.
That's your paying.
No,
wait.
No. Is that what? No, I wouldn't pay to. It's how much I would get paid.
All right, so Aaron, you're back at Club Desire, and she comes out. What are you doing?
Well, obviously, I think that's quite clear. What we
are you eating the meatball sandwiches in the back? Oh my lord! Who's this?
All right, Aaron, Moolah or JYD's mother?
Ooh.
Let's go.
Ooh, tough. What are we doing though?
Lordy. I don't blame JYD for having that chain around his neck.
JYD's chain to anything to her you want.
Did you just say you don't blame him for having a chain? Oh my god.
Did they just be like, wear what you wear to church and show up here tonight? Like,
and Mean Gene's there with a microphone doing comedy.
Oh my god.
I just feel like JYD's mother might look happier if she had some sex.
Well, Aaron, you better give her a call.
Mrs. Ritter, how much would you pay to have...
It's not how much I would pay. It's how much someone would pay me.
And when Aaron had sex with JYD's mom, that's where John Ritter came from. So, buddy, Duke of Doherty here? Duke of Dorchester?
Get JYD's mom out of here. Tell her to go bake a cake.
That's some wild hair he has going on. That is a mane. Like a fucking lion just roaming around the ring. Woo! So this is where the idea for Shelton Benjamin's mother would come in 18 years later.
Wow.
So clearly a Mother's Day tie-in here, which I'm guessing was the next day.
Yeah.
Mama.
See if we can do some Googling.
He looks like he's got a big gash on his head from a... Whoa. That guy's got a big beard.
Mother's Day 1985 was May 12th, so this was the night before.
There we go.
Well, technically, it might have been Mother's Day by the time this aired, right? It used to start at 11:30.
Yeah, so yeah, this is the tail end of the show, so yeah. Is that Mel Phillips? I think that's Mel Phillips.
Being absolutely useless.
Drove up. There he is. Drove up 95 from Philly.
Oh, no, he's got Pete Doherty's.
I heard there was a little boys here.
What?
It's Mel Phillips, man. He had all kinds
Mel
of issues.
Mel Phillips.
And you come down on me, Scott.
Bad choice of language.
What happened to you tonight?
Yeah, really. That was really bad timing.
JYD just hammering on the Duke of Dorchester with his over-exaggerated Matt Rosero selling.
Aaron George has made the PTB podcast open. Great.
Yeah, this is going to be a quick squash right here. Yeah, this is squash. This was like, oh shit, we got 7 minutes left to fill. Let's just do this.
Yeah, I'll throw them out here. I don't
think ref
takes. Wow, look at that ref. I don't believe they'll grab them. I think they're still using Queen's "Another One Bites the Dust." I don't think Grab Them Cakes debuted till the following year. Wrestling album came out.
Yeah, so it was on the album, right?
Yeah,
yeah. It was dubbed out here though. They play Grab Them Cakes here.
Yeah, they dubbed it because I remember because the first Slammies was I think before WrestleMania 2, so I think it was like.
GRABTHECAKES.
Isn't it weird?
What's that, G?
Is that a spell? Isn't it weird? He laid out the matches for this show, though. You know, you would think Hogan's match would have been the last match.
Well, he probably won't.
Well, no, I think that. Well, it's tape, Scott. I don't think that matters. But I think it has more to do with they wanted the big matches in the earlier time slots so people could see the stars, and then. Maybe stick around for this shit at 1 a.m.
I agree with you. I'm just saying if they're rolling this, if this was just taped in order from the night before, usually main event, you know, usually the big matches were in the middle. You know, I don't know if they were still treating it in that house show atmosphere, but yeah, no, you're probably right. They probably wanted the Hogan match in kind of the main.
Well, I guess later on when we watch some of the other ones, I think they used to put like the main event at the end.
Mm.
Well, didn't they used to put the Hogan match on first sometimes too?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, they definitely did. And it depended on the scenario and, you know, the storyline, I suppose.
That referee looks like a shorter version of Kramer's friend Mike that called Jerry a phony.
from the park. Is that the same guy as the parking spot?
Yes.
Big power slam off the
man. That Michael Jordan's so phony. Use it in a sentence. JYD laying in the headbutts on the Duke of Dorchester. Anyone ever been to Dorchester? It's not a place you want to be.
We have a street called Dorchester.
Yeah, of course you do.
Of course you
it's
do.
It's lovely.
Except it's Le Dorchester.
No, they changed it to René Lévesque.
Dorchester is not the place to be. It was founded by Puritans, though.
This is a much more... Oh, God.
Ooh, she got the golden tooth, too. That could be all you, Aaron.
Oh, nice.
He'll take her innocence and take her golden tooth and bring it to the pawn shop.
Here we go. Well, he's holding him up a lot. There's the thump slam.
Thumpity thump, thump, thumpity thump, thump. Look at Frost to go.
JYD.
Now, do you guys think Junk JYD would have been a champion?
Oh, yes. Good call. Yeah, yes. I forgot to talk about that.
Ooh, yeah. What about Doherty, too? We got to deal with him.
I would say negative there.
Yeah. No, not on Doherty.
Yeah, definitely JYD. I don't know. We can say that, obviously, Wendy Richter, I don't know about Moolah now, Wendy Richter would definitely have been a
Wendy
Divas
Richter
champion.
Would be, yeah.
Would have been Divas champion.
But, here you go, yeah, Aaron.
I definitely think JYD. Whatever.
Oh, he knows. There's no doubt he'd have been a champion. Yeah,
I want to think so, but they haven't exactly had too many great black champions. Like they don't generally push.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about he's got the same charisma and he's got the same, I mean, you know,
I think he probably is in the God. That ref is jacked.
Yeah. JYD is. Oh, there you go, Aaron.
There you go.
She danced for you.
Here we go.
Meatball
sandwich.
Here you go, Aaron. You can go to
she's passing those out.
If you go to Dorchester, Mass, you can attend La Bure College. So you're all set. Laboure with the tilde at the end.
All right.
La Bure. 615 students. Commuter college. Commute down from Montreal.
Great.
What are we doing now? So I got a party. Oh, Mother's Day event.
Ugh.
Look at that shirt. Could it be any tighter on the JYD?
Wears a shirt like Morty Seinfeld.
That picture is just awful. It's like him as a dog with the rerun hat on.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Iron Sheik is comfortably standing right next to JYD's mom.
He likes the women.
I want your gold tooth. I take your gold tooth.
I make you humble.
I like the pink cups, too. It's a nice touch.
Yes.
Lilacs in the back.
Sheik better keep his hands off my woman. That's all I'm saying.
Cindy Lauper, that bitch. Fuck her in her hair.
A dusty finish in her hair.
Very festive. At least they made these original.
Volkov saying that his mother is watching in Russia right now.
At least. Oh, who's that?
Bless you said that that's his mother. Oh, that's awesome.
At least Albano's got his shirt buttoned.
God, what kind of gross Hawaiian shirt did they dig that thing out of?
The Ron Renzi closet.
Like, let's take five ugly Hawaiian shirts, cut them up, and sew them together, and then this will be your shirt.
Here you go, Lou. You're wearing this.
Look at this. At Hogan's mom?
Yeah.
It has to be. Come on.
Thank you for being a friend.
I don't remember those. I have to think back. I don't remember those cool Saturday Night's Main Event t-shirts being in the catalogs. I remember that JYD shirt being in the catalog. I don't remember the Saturday Night's Main Event one.
So who's the fat lady in the green? Is that Wendy Richter's mom?
Wow.
Richter's
Wendy Richter's dressed like a hooker from Patch Aug. Look at that outfit.
Yeah. So how much would you pay to have sex with Wendy Richter?
She'll ask you right now.
Yeah, she may be listening. We should watch out.
She could be half off with Moolah.
I'll get an email in the PTBN email box. So I heard someone say 700?
It's like a whorehouse lineup right now. You got Richter, you got JYD's mother.
Oh, geez, here comes the S&M queen.
Oh, my God. His mother Teresa comes the mother superior.
I said 1,000, bitch.
You better come see me in the window before you go into the back room.
In the pit window.
She looks like she's shaped like Dusty right now in that outfit.
It looks like Zeus's shoulder pads.
It does.
Yes.
Beefcake, Baba.
Oh, my God.
Fuck my pussy.
Jesus Christ. All right. Junkyard Dog, the time has come. You have to make your choice. Which of these ladies will you choose?
Well, who's going to cook me?
For this Mother's Day romp.
Mother's Day romp.
And who the hell has a Mother's Day party at 1:30 in the morning in the back of an arena? I'm a little bit much.
Sweet mother of God. This certainly beats us.
Hey, Ma, I know you're 77, but can you come on out 1:30 over to the Nassau Coliseum? I'm going to hang out in the back.
Dress like Zeus. Getting up at 4:30.
We're going to have lemonade and pink cups, you know? What the hell?
I know you want to get to Mass by 6, but... Oh, that cake's toast.
Yeah, of course it's toast.
There it goes. There it goes. Mean Gene. Mean Gene asked for this action.
God, I don't know if I've ever seen all this, honestly. I do not remember this at all. Look at that outfit. Jesus. Even sensational series like that is a little bit much.
Yes.
Lopper throws a cake on top of her head.
Wow. Ugh, this is dreadful.
And we're back to Jesse and Vince.
This is like tame compared to all that.
Fold out table.
Why does Jesse sound like he's taking a shit while he's yelling? He's like kind of squatted at the knees.
He said his highlight was watching Orndorff get beat up. So,
oh, I thought Orndorff was his boy. Well,
Jesse had no comment on the Mother's Day whore collection.
All right, Scott, quickly run us through our categories here. Let's do our
nominees. Okay.
All right. Best match.
Hogan Orndorff.
You mean Hogan Orton, you mean?
Hogan Orton.
Orton. I don't know. I thought the 6-man tag at the beginning was pretty good.
No, I think Hogan Orton is better.
Okay. Aaron?
Yeah, I'm with Hogan Orton, too.
Okay. Greeny?
Hogan Orton.
G?
Hogan Orton.
Okay. Write it down.
All right. Most Federation era moment.
I Albano.
Agree with, JR on Albano glomming onto another winning tag team.
Hey, we got to pay attention to the credits next week because they just had a guy named Ferd Manning, and I want to know if it's Fred, and they misspelled it, or if it's actually Ferd.
And nobody cared about the typing the credits at 1:30 in the fucking morning.
All right, Aaron, most Federation moment.
I'm going to go with Orton, Piper, and tennis shorts Orndorff in the ring together.
Okay. All right. Greeny?
I'm going with Aaron on that.
Okay. Dr. G?
Me too. I the Piper's Pit and all that, that's just...
The funny shorts. Okay.
Reminds me of that era.
I think we got outvoted there, JR. I was kind of hoping for Albano.
Can't win them all. Orndorff. We don't have Willie here to bully.
Yeah. Most 80s. Most 80s in general. Did we say fan?
No, just most 80s anyone.
Most 80s anything.
I'm going to either T or Lop, or I could go either way.
Mm. I'll go with T.
I'll go with T.
Okay, Aaron. G? Mr. Keith,
I'm going to go with Lopper.
Okay. Greeny?
I'm going Lopper as well.
All right. So T wins it 3-2. And finally, best hair.
Wait, is it best hair or best 80s hair?
Best 80s hair.
Well, that kind of fits best hair. That's the decade we're in. So. JR?
I mean, to me, T was an 80s hair. T was 80s. So we gave it to Lopper, right, for most 80s? I think she gets most 80s hair, too. I can go to Orndorff, huh?
T got most 80s.
Okay, I go to Lopper's hair, then. Orndorff's hair is a sneaky dark horse, though.
Yeah. Greeny?
Yeah, it's a toss-up between Lopper and Orndorff. I'm gonna go Orndorff.
Okay. Jay?
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Lopper.
Lopper, okay. I think that wins the vote. But Aaron?
I'll go with Orndorff just to be different.
Okay, so Lopper. Are we grading the shows? 1 to 10? No?
Yeah, I guess. I'll give this one a 5. Okay. Had enough camp to make me giggle.
Okay. I'll give it a 5.5. Aaron?
Go 5.
G, from 1 to 10?
You know, I'm usually pretty critical, but I'm going to go 6 on this just because it was the first one.
Okay. Greeny?
There's I'm going to go 5. Around it.
Okay. So let's
see. Like a 5.5 average-ish.
Yeah. 20. Yeah, about 5.5.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll be back with episode number 2.
Because.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today. Plus, we'll be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
He don't care what it takes. We hear that lovely lady along with JYD singing Grab Dem Cakes. PlaceToBeNation.com grabs them cakes all day long. Our Seinfeld rewatch series rolls on. As I mentioned, Aaron and myself with Andrew Flanagan and the JDster are up to the pen. Great episode, episode 5. Aaron, I think you're a little soft on the grade on that one. I was not happy.
I'm sorry. Sorry to let you down, man.
I almost edited it because I was so angry. So that was, and that came back to back with the library. Two awesome episodes. So keep that looking for that every Tuesday, Friday. And impressively enough, with the lackadaisical crew I have, we have somehow met every single deadline. So kudos to that group. New hotness top pick, and I've known Andrew Flanagan since 1997 or 1996, and he has never been this on top of something with this kind of thing. So kudos to him. Russell Sellers has his new hotness for this week, his top comics picks. Dan McGinn took a look at Raw from last night. New episode of the NBA team podcast. Andrew Reich and Adam Murray looking at the Central Division. If you're an NBA fan, them's be must listens for you because those guys know their shit, do a great job. Greg Phillips and Nick Duke, new hard traveling fanboys looking at the best creative teams countdown there. Russell Sellers also did a Sellers Point reviewing Batgirl number 35. And speaking of number 35, we had episode 35 of the Titans of Wrestling, looking at WWF at MSG from March 16th, 1981. New episode of The Extra Point, Scott and Dr. G had a star-studded crew. TJ McClune talked about the upcoming NHL season. You had your NFL. Was Kyle on for that?
No, just Dr. G and I. And then we had, of course, Joel Barnhart on to talk postseason. Speaking of, Giants took a 2-1 lead today. On a throwing error. So they lead the series with the Cardinals 2-1.
And the Royals and Orioles tied at 1 right now as we speak. Jeremy Nichols back in the House of Horror looking at the Curse of Michael Myers from 1995. New episode of The Bauer Show. New episode of 22 Weeks. New episode of Still Real to Us and Kings of Sport as well. Ryan Everett checked out Main Event. A great episode of The High Spot looking at surprises in wrestling. Taking an early look at Royal Rumble 2015, CM Punk and the other top stories of the week. New episode of The Steve Carino Show had Adam Cole on as a special guest. The poll's still open in the World Cup of TV characters, but it's not looking good for poor Cosmo Kramer. Looks like we're going to be crowning Homer Simpson as champion here in the upcoming days. But we do have another tournament coming in the next few weeks, and this is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And a lot of voting will be required there. Yes. A new episode of the Sports Lounge as well with the Cowboy, Cowboy Senior, and Keith Schmidt. Senior! Taking a look at the Pats bounce back, Russell Wilson, and previewing this past weekend. And finally, a new episode of the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham, wrestler snapshot on Don Fuji, who apparently is a wrestler. I thought it was just one of those Mr. Fuji skits from TNT.
Yeah, I had no idea what he meant either.
Apparently it's a wrestler.
I didn't know that either.
So we can learn on the bottom by listening to the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Also, check out our Vintage Vault Refresh series, Scott. We're up to Royal Rumble 1988. All new fun facts, all new opinions, same old glib humor there for you with those. So, PlaceToBeNation.com, grabbing your cake since 2013. You can join us at info at PlaceToBeNation.com if you're interested in writing for us. Facebook.com/PlaceToBeNation and Twitter, Place2BNation as well. All right, gentlemen, so are we ready for episode 2? Scott, what do we got for a date on this?
This date is October 5th.
Okay.
Let me confirm that. October 5th, 1985, from the Brendan Byrne Arena in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
It's like Whacktober. And is that that's the Meadowlands?
Yes, the Meadowlands Arena. Yes.
Okay, very nice. All right, everyone ready?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. Count us in on a 3-2 go. We open with a promo. Nikolai Volkoff in his awesome communist robe.
Yes, a coat.
Long jacket.
Long jacket with no shirt.
Pure sex.
Yes. Blassie does not have his evil
Cossack hat.
and his evil. He doesn't have his evil horn rim glasses on.
His Russian hat that he got from Bob Sacramento down at Battery Park.
It's not gonna be good for anyone. So this, I think, is. I'm changing my vote to Nikolai. I think with this outfit, he's instantly a world champion nowadays.
He's badass with that outfit.
The sweater, not so much. This, yes. The sweater was his spring attire. Now we're getting to the cold winter. He's going to bust out the jacket.
Because I'm picturing the belt under the jacket.
Yeah, right? Just he opens that jacket, and there it is. Hello. So Hogan here, he's got his white American Made shirt on. Interesting.
Yes, which means I wonder if he's got the white tights, because in 1985 he was still kind of rotating colors before 86 he would pretty much strictly go to the red and yellow.
And that headband look was a big look for him in like late 85, 86.
Yeah. Yeah.
Headband like almost over his eye.
Yeah, the it's like ripped t-shirt tie. Yeah, definitely.
The Rambo look.
Yeah, it was probably in essence what it really was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And of course, tonight is the wedding of Uncle Elmer.
Yeehaw!
Oh, God. Dreadful.
Hillbilly brutality. As you know, anyone who's been a long-time listener of The Place to Be, Scott and I, not fans of the Hillbillies. What do you guys stand of the Hillbillies? Yay or nay, Aaron George?
Nay!
How about you, Greeny?
Oh, I couldn't stand them. I could not stand Hillbillies.
G, you a Hillbilly member? Card carrying?
Certainly not.
Okay.
They do nothing for me.
You weren't living up in the panhandle, so.
They don't turn him on at all.
Is anyone else concerned that this is their formal wear?
Well, he broke out the blue shirt.
Yes, usually he has no shirt, so.
It looks like a collar.
Yes, that's the hillbilly tuxedo, a polo shirt and overalls.
Anyway,
never mind. Oh God!
Oh, inside jokes.
You know what? By the way, if anybody's interested in that awesome nice dance. There we go. Anybody's interested in that awesome alternate Piper Panther T-shirt? You can get it on what is that? Barbershopwindow.com. They have, and I think ProWrestlingTees.com too. I think both of them have that particular T-shirt. We are another sellout crowd at the Brendan Byrne / Meadowlands Arena. This was, very good crowd. And looks like we are starting off with our world title match. So here you go, Dr. G. You hit the nail on the head with this one. It looks like Hogan is going to start the show.
Jesse all decked out. I guess he's ready for the wedding here. He's got his purple suit on this time, not the pink.
Yes. Yeah, not as pink as the first time.
He's Vince into the pastels, though.
Vince in his usual tuxedo. And rug, as Jesse used to always say.
I think Jesse was the main reason that, like, as a kid, none of us believed that Vince was the owner of the company. Because just how much he abused him on commentary week to week.
Yes, that
There's
is
no
true.
Way this schmuck owns the company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The guy in the purple suit makes fun of him.
Except when, and I mentioned it when we get to... that WrestleMania 4 when Pop Euchre goes, I'd like to thank Vince McMahon for inviting me back. Oh, great. Thanks for breaking that fourth wall, you idiot.
Okay, she's excited for the wedding.
Well, people showed up dressed in bridesmaids outfits.
Looked like Adrian from the early Rocky days.
Take her to the zoo.
That is some tuxedo for Jesse.
Wow, I mean,
that
very
is
rare
that is
for
incredible.
Freaking very purple rare rain.
For, yes, very rare though for Jesse to acknowledge his baldness, not having a do rag on, or his little tinsel wig or whatever the thing was he used to wear.
I mean, he's pretty much like Hogan's brother with that hair.
Yes, and the awesome sideburns, the mutton chops.
Mutton.
He's just gotta be so hot in that thing. Like it must be so warm in those tuxedos.
He thinks he's hot in it, too. So that's why Jesse wears it. Another wide shot of the Meadowlands Arena. Of course, thanks to the history of WWE.com, I will take a look and see what the rest of this card was.
See if anyone got any venereal diseases after this show. Grant should have it in there.
Yes. Any senseless bleeding on the chairs?
That's sexist.
Wow, what a match. That's racist. October. Is this it? Yes. October 3rd, 1995.
I'll tell you what's not racist, and that is Nikolai Volkov singing the Russian national anthem.
No, not at all.
He always had an awesome salute, too. Like the sideways cocked hand, you know, very, very. It's right there, babe.
Mm-hmm. How do we feel about Blassie wearing all red to support the communist cause?
Oh, very dedicated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Loyal to his guy.
That is an awesome flag.
Oh, it's got it on the back of the jacket, too. That's even better.
I kind of wish Rusev would go back to that flag.
I've said that more than once, that he should go back to that flag. I think that'd be fantastic.
I think they need to do a tie-in. Like, Rusev needs to be on the Americans next season, just for one. I mean, that's how you promote.
Okay, here were our five warm-up matches.
Russia is Russia.
Yes. Here are our five warm-up matches before the taping began. Adrian Adonis defeated Steve Gator Wolf. Mm-hmm. The Iron Sheik defeated Rick McGraw. King Tonga defeated Barry O. Cowboy Bob Orton defeated SD Jones.
I wonder if he gave him the Barry O face.
Yes. And David Sammartino defeated Tiger. defeated Tiger Chung Lee. It's fantastic warm ups there before our match. Hogan doing his usual.
Yeah, how many. I mean, this is the only thing with these shows is like we get the pre-show promo, and then we get the promo again with the announcer before the match. Oh, yeah, we're all set.
All right. This was probably Nikolai Volkov's last real legit main event moment here.
Are you forgetting he with Kirshner?
Are you forgetting he feuded with Boris Zukov?
After teaming with Boris Zukov,
that was
Hogan in all white to counter the evil red of Blassie and.
So pretty. I mean, they came out firing with these science man events. Hogan immediately on the first two.
Mm. Oh yeah, and honestly, I don't. I got to think back. I don't think there's many that he's not on.
Are you surprised they didn't wait till the fall to premiere? That they had one right before the TV season ended, and then took the summer off.
I think it was a test. Similar to our last watch. I think it was similar to when they did that test SmackDown in April of 99 before going full-blown in August. I think they wanted to test the waters of the spring, the tail end of the TV season, throw it up there and see what they can get out of it. And I'm going to see if I get a rating here. Let's see. Wikipedia does not. Let's see if this one got a 8.3 on NBC. So let's see what the one in May got. In May, the one in what's on it? Here we go. The
Nick
one in May.
Going to town on Hogan here, ripping his shirt off and laying in some heavy knees.
The one in May got a rating of 8.8, and then this one got an 8.3.
There you go.
It would have been interesting to know what the Saturday Night Live ratings were.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
Yeah.
I don't know what site.
85, wasn't that like the tail end of Eddie Murphy era, or was he gone?
Yeah,
already?
85. No, he was. Nah, he might have been gone by then. I think 85 was kind of that in between, because I think 87 is when that Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey, John Lovitz,
Dennis Miller. That crew started in like 87. This was like the in between. I think like Joe Piscopo was.
Yeah.
There.
Piscopo and Anthony Michael Hall. Anthony Michael Hall, I think, was on a little bit earlier.
Let me see if there's a.
He was on with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I think.
It's so weird to picture her in that setting.
She's Billy so Crystal was on in 85, I think, because he was in that skit where Hogan and T were in when they hosted the night before WrestleMania.
Saturday Night Live cast members. Let's see. I'll see. This is just a list. Let's see if I can go. Let me see if I can do years active. Okay.
Hogan back in control here. Nikolai spills out to the table.
Is that the Athletic Commission again?
That's the New Jersey State Athletic Commission.
Just a little bit skeezier.
Eddie Murphy was on until 84. Joe Piscopo left in 84. Let's see. Mary Gross was there. Julie Lou Dreyfus left in 80. She was on from 82 to 85. Jim Belushi left in 85. Christopher Guest. A lot of guys left in 85. A lot of the people left. Martin Short.
What about Dreyfus the dog from Empty Nest?
Him too. let's see.
What a stupid name for a dog, though, huh? Dreyfus.
Dreyfus.
Not if you're a fan of Richard Dreyfus.
That's true.
It's an honor, then.
The 85-86 cast.
And he's hanging on the rod.
Let's see. The 85-86 cast on SNL that year were Joan Cusack, Robert Downey Jr., Anthony Michael Hall, Randy Quaid, Damon Wayans. Nora Dunn started in 85. John Lovitz.
Damon Wayans was around that long.
85-86. Wow. He was on that season.
Really young.
But Nora Dunn started in 85. John Lovitz, Dennis Miller started in 85. So they were just starting to get that class that kind of carried them through the late 80s into the early 90s. Eddie Murphy he left in 84.
So Damon Wayans would have been 25 when he was on that.
Who?
Damon Wayans was 25.
Oh, okay.
Volkoff just wedgied the shit out of Hogan.
Yeah, man, he yanked his tights. Wow.
Yeah.
So Damon Wayans got fired because he went against the script, and instead of playing a straight cop, he played a flamboyant gay cop on a live sketch. Wayans said this largely due to growing frustrations and increasing stress. And then, of course, In Living Color came couple years later.
Yes.
Yep. In Living Color was like 4 years. I feel like that went longer too. 90,
yeah,
94.
Like that went a hell of a lot longer.
I have to put that on our 94 list, Greeny.
Yes.
The end of In Living Color.
Yeah.
I like that show.
Living Color was funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was different.
We didn't get it. I feel like that's the story of up
that's
here.
That's the theme.
Yeah, like I think we got Fox. It was on Fox, right? In Living Color?
Fox, yeah.
Yeah, it was on Fox. Yeah.
I think we got Fox in like 1994.
Oof. Well, a lot of stiff kicks here for Nikolai. He's really laying the wood down on him.
I like that double punch he did, too. That was pretty cool.
Mm.
Volkoff got really big at this point.
Yeah.
He was also thick, though.
You know, that's what he was. Like he never looked really fat, per se. He just was a big dude.
Can you think of a wrestler that overstayed his welcome more than Nikolai Volkoff once he turned face?
Yeah.
Well, when the Cold War ended, a lot of those, you know, Vince ready-made, you know, evil feuds kind of...
I had his little face run there, and then came back with DiBiase. I kind of liked him as the kind of pointless broke schlup in 94, 95.
But wearing the little tights with the scent signs on him.
He just looks so sad, you know? It's almost like he had AIDS because he was a vampire. Hogan hits a leg drop.
There we
and
go.
He gets the win. So I liked that match. We'll have to see if we think it was better than the last Hogan match. But Hogan's 2-for-2 on these Saturday's Main Event matches so far.
Yeah, a lot of stiff shots in this match.
Yeah, they're quick, but they serve their purpose.
He also just spat on Nikolai Volkoff, which I never noticed before.
Yikes.
Is he going to put it up his nose like Sean did with the Canadian flag?
No, he spit on the flag, and now he's wiping his boots with it. I'm really taking a piss on Mother Russia here.
Imagine the incident that would cause today.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's just like a giggle
fest. It'd be trending worldwide right now.
Mm.
Slams it down, spits on it.
Jesus.
He's really angry. He's stepping on it, standing over it with the American flag.
Stomp the flagpole on it, maybe? No.
We're going to use this to wipe up Cowboy Bob Orton's hepatitis later, brother.
Yeah.
Clean it up right off the floor with it.
The poor ref has been waiting to hand him
I know.
Belt.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm old. It hurts
Let's
my
go.
Arm.
Take your belt, brother.
I just realized, I didn't even know this. Looking at these Saturday Night Live actresses, you know who died like last week? Jan Hooks.
Yeah.
Jan Hooks, yeah.
I didn't even know that. Wow. That sucks. She was 57. Bummer.
She was Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. Well, because they have a list here of the SNL premature deaths. You know, Belushi, Gilda Radner, Chris Farley, and I said Jan Hooks. Jan Hooks. Wow, she died.
Jan McGinn.
Jan McGinn. We're back on Saturday Night's Main Event. Love the logo.
Back to another Hogan promo.
Yep. Jesus, enough already.
Wow. Pre-show, pre-match, post-match.
Yeah, three. You think they're trying to push this guy?
Get your Hogan fixed in before you go to bed.
Yeah, like if you had to go to bed at midnight, you saw three Hogan promos and a Hogan match. But I guess that was big at the time, like we said. I mean, I wasn't really on the TV that often, so that maximize it. I mean, he looks even like more tan when he's sweating like that, all huffy puffy.
Of course, they hadn't quite mastered the whole interviews, like staging area with, you know, a background and everything. It's just, oh, let's do it in the aisleway here, behind the curtain.
I love when they do it and there's other people walking by.
Yeah,
quite the exhibitionist, Aaron.
Hey, oh.
Oh, hey.
And we're getting some more wedding stuff now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting Mrs. Elmer.
Nice. Fuck, man. He's going to, like, destroy her. Look at the size of that man. Like. He's going to, like, come down on her with the force of 1,000 violins.
I want to punch Cousin Luke.
I wonder if he likes Ring of Honor, Uncle Elmer.
Who would you rather, like, do you feel that, like, if you were to run into this family or the Wyatts in a dark alley, who'd be more likely to rape you?
Probably the Wyatts.
The Wyatts, I guess. Uncle Elmer.
But I think I could easily escape Uncle Elmer.
That is the worst hat ever that Cousin Luke is wearing, right?
Is it worse than Uncle Elmer's, really? Like, they're both really bad.
They're both really awful, yeah.
Hey, here we are. We're going to win a match. Look at this fucking guy.
Looks like the guy that owns
Jerry
the
Valiant?
Jerry Valiant.
What the fuck did he take him out of?
Wow.
Jesus.
The question is, would Jerry Valiant be a world champion today?
You think Vince called and was like, hey, asshole, you owe me one more match. Show up in fucking Meadowlands.
I need you to put this fat farmer over.
Fat farmer on his wedding night.
Can't even put his hat on the fucking ring post. Oh, I hate these guys.
What a klutz.
I mean, they're all so stupid. Cousin Luke is just so stupid.
What is this? You two
in New Jersey don't dance like that.
Look at these guys. They're from the South. Look at them dancing. Can you fucking believe this? That's what all them guys do down there.
You turn on the TV, you're hoping to get Eddie Murphy.
You get this nonsense.
You get this. You get Friday night at Chet Campbell's house.
Is that? Like, what kind of jig is that? Stop doing it. He's doing the same thing over and over.
It's like river dancing. Eddie's not wearing any boots.
I do like the dark overalls, though. I'll give
that. What a fucking mess.
Can we watch this shit?
Yes, we did.
And we bitch about it now. Like, this is what we have.
Jerry Valiant is like this. Yeah.
There you go, Valiant. You loser.
That's the match.
Here's your payday, kid.
Ah, damn it. I gotta go back to the diner.
Probably.
Damn it, I gotta go back to the diner.
Now I'm gonna go get married. I've won this match. Oh, imagine the stank when he puts his arm around you. Just gross. There's no more deplorable human being than Uncle Elmer.
Imagine having to use the bathroom after him. It might just be
like anything. Even just walking behind him was fucking gross.
Oh, dreadful.
He won the match in a WWF record 6 seconds.
Then he had just enough time to send Scott a direct message on Facebook.
Is this fat fuck still alive?
No. No, I think he's still right. Oh, wait, no. Let's see. Uncle Elmer. No, he died. That was his name. Frazier. Something Frazier.
Of course he died. Look how big he is. Come on.
Plowboy Frazier.
Plowboy Frazier. Let me see here.
The show on this versus the Bundy S.T. Jones to show what was faster.
Uncle Elmer. Yes. Real name. Stan Frazier. Stan Frazier died on July 1st, 1992.
From fat.
From, yes.
54. He's from Philadelphia, Mississippi.
There's a shot there of, oh, God.
That is a central, sweaty ass,
yes,
nasty Mississippi right there. Philadelphia.
Ugh.
Governor? Oh, sorry, Mayor James Young.
That was the sport. I had to land on my knees first.
Ugh. Oh. These guys make me sick.
James Young's actually the first black mayor. 2009.
It was the first black mayor of Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Yep.
Why are they getting so much promo time?
All right, here are notable people from Philadelphia, Mississippi. Billy Cannon, 1959 Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. Bob Ferguson, RCA record producer and songwriter, known for On the Wings of a Dove. Marcus Dupree, football player in the NFL and USFL.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Frazier. Iris Kelso, the journalist. Philip Martin, the chief of the Mississippi Band of Choctaw Indians. Fred McAfee, former member of the Saints and Steelers. Pearl River, members of the country music band. Otis Rush, blues artist. And Marty Stewart, country music entertainer and Grand Ole Opry star. So,
but they have Uncle Elmer. That's all that matters.
Right? The most important person.
At one point, Uncle Elmer went by the name the Pascagoula Plowboy.
There's so little to talk about this town that they have the infrastructure listed here on Wikipedia. Public utilities, cable television services are contracted by Metrocast, electrical utilities provided by the City of Philadelphia, and natural gas from CenterPoint Energy, AT&T, local telephone service.
What
provider.
The hell is Jesse wearing? Holy shit.
Well, he realized, oh man, I'm still bald.
All right, last fun fact about Philadelphia, Mississippi. Anyone want to take a guess at the estimated census from 2012?
2,000.
Anyone else?
6,500.
Greeny?
4,000.
G?
I'll go high. I'll go 10,000.
All right. This is a 10.6 square mile area inhabited by 7,477 people. So Aaron George, you win.
Yay!
Yeah.
I did it.
And you get an outfit just like Jesse the Body. Next
yes.
Color.
The town is just as dense as you.
It looks like he looks like he got clothes from Mrs. Roper's closet.
Oh, Stanley. I like when Bobby wore the glittery black suit. That was his early when he first arrived in WWF. That was his
He still got the curlyish hair too.
Yes.
So the briefcase is that he's got a bounty out for anybody that can beat Paul Orndorff's ass.
Who was Bobby managing at this point? Does anybody remember? Was he even like
Bundy and Studd, I think.
Yeah.
That's right.
I don't know if he was managing Bundy
yet. Because, Bundy was still Jimmy Hart.
That's right. Bundy and who'd they switch off? It was Bundy for Adrian Adonis, right? Was the trade-off between Jimmy Hart and Bobby Heenan? And I'm not sure if that happened yet.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do we give Orndorff the 80s hair vote for this one since he lost the first one?
We'll have to see. Still got time.
We'll have to see.
See, it's tough. They don't show the crowd as prominently as they did in the later years.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like the people's eyebrow going on in this interview.
He does.
It's like he's having the people's stroke.
Of course, he's facing. Oh, thank God we're not doing an episode of something from the AWA in the mid-70s, because Uncle Elmer wrestled in a loincloth as Kamala.
Jesus Christ.
Kamala. The white Kamala.
Get all the good gigs.
That's because he ate Kamala one. So,
yes. Yes. 460 pounds in a loincloth. I'll take more over that any day.
What's more culturally insensitive, him as Kamala 2 or Akeem from Africa?
Well, this referee.
Orndorff looking, he's about to punch Fink out.
Who didn't love Akeem?
How does the ref have a thing of cigarettes wrapped up in his sleeve? He's got a sleeve rolled up so tight.
He's just keeping the bowl.
I gotta fuck up. I need to take a smoke.
Come on, I'm on my way to a 282 game. I got no time for this.
Get this hippie out of here.
We'll get our share of Akeem further on down the line.
Piper's the only one watching these with no sound that looks like he's speaking like a normal person. Everyone else is screaming and like about to keel over.
No, Piper's screaming. He just does it much more calmly. He doesn't shake as much.
Guys, you know, do you think that when they're doing these interviews, it seems like they're doing them in the back and that's like a green screen or whatever, or the crowd? Because it always looks.
I bet you they do the interviews.
It doesn't look real behind them for me.
No, I think it's real. I bet you they did them all before the before like they're in the
Hogan was like all sweaty and stuff when he came out.
Yeah, I see what you mean though, G. But I think I bet you they did some of these interviews like during those pre.
What I'm saying, it is recorded crowd video, but it looks like a screen or whatever that they just.
Mm.
I don't know. I could be wrong.
We like the. I don't know how long Piper did this for. Probably, I think he stopped at the end of the year. The bagpipes. Probably cost money.
He just was such a prick. That's what I remember as a kid. Like, this guy's just a prick.
That's why my dad loved him.
Did we see a piano on that stage? Is that a piano? I wonder if they'll show that wide shot again.
Well, it's probably for the wedding.
It was. It's for the wedding.
Oh. See, I thought the wedding was... I forgot the wedding was in the ring. I thought it was in a... I keep getting that confused with Vachon's wedding.
It's like a pinochle case, that briefcase.
Yes, or tiles. Something, yeah.
He was such a great heel.
Yes, he was.
Didn't they both have to wear blue here? It's kind of weird.
I know. They almost had the same boots on, too.
I love when matches start like this.
Yeah, they're just pissed off and hate each other, just beating the shit out of each other. This is a hot match. Should be buried kind of late in the show.
Mm-hmm. This could be a good candidate for match of the night if this keeps up.
Oh, it's definitely started it.
Probably as a heel, Piper didn't. I mean, we've always talked about this, and we've said it, JR, in our past vaults, that it sadly took until WrestleMania 8 for us to really see the kind of great wrestler that Piper was, because pretty much during his whole like heel and even early face run, it was all punches, kicks, and and running around. It's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate that he was never a world champion.
Well,
anybody, not that his legacy needed it, but he definitely, like we were saying before, he would definitely be a world champion.
We've already counted both these. Speaking of, I'm guessing Uncle Elmer is not a world championship material, and certainly is neither Jerry Valiant is either. I think Vince would make Uncle Elmer.
Jerry Valiant would probably get an IC run.
And a free cup of coffee. Wow, there's just – but see, this for these two, this is the perfect kind of match, just eye poking and hair pulling and just – it's perfect for the psychology of the dude.
It's funny because the only time I ever find that like Piper not winning a title kind of hurts his legacy, not that it does, but it's when you're trying to explain to someone who wasn't watching at the time because he doesn't have any of those things to point to. Like it's easy to undervalue how important he was for the era.
Mm-hmm. Well, interesting there. We saw, and we're talking about Piper's moveset, and there he did a rare pre-Jake DDT a couple of seconds ago. You didn't see that very often. And, there's a guy with a – there's 80s. There's a guy with a Marcus Allen jersey right there, right on the left there. It was on the screen very quickly, but show him again.
Wild brawl on the floor.
I mean, he didn't even win a title in WCW when they were giving that belt to everyone.
Well,
he won the U.S.,
and a non-title match that was never announced as such.
Yeah. In the 80s, when he was there, like in the Mid-Atlantic, he was U.S. champion.
Nice back suplex, too. What a great match so far.
This has actually been a really good match.
Yeah, this has my vote so far for match of the night.
Yeah. And they were just beating the shit out of each other on the floor. It's up there with the great Luna Vachon Sherry brawl we watched on Raw a few weeks ago.
Yes, sir. Stripped down to their skivvies, yes.
Dance.
How's the crowd reacting to this greenhouse?
The crowd is really hot. They've been hot all night. Even in the first episode that we watched, when Hogan came out, they went mental.
Well, they were smart to they were definitely smart to do the first two right in their wheelhouse, Long Island.
Get your big guys out there. Yeah.
Yeah, and get your hotter, more trusting crowds.
Right.
You know. In fact, the first four all were East Coast, so they were smart to do that. Is he biting him? That's Piper biting
him. More angry brawling.
Yeah. No, this has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they really played up the blood feud.
It's the 1985 version of the Wyatts and the Shield.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. Or even
Ambrose Rollins.
Yeah, I think that would be more. Oh.
What do you think the odds were that this would be like a shit finish? Like, I mean, just 2-1.
Yeah, it had shit finish written all over it, no doubt.
Pinfall had to be like 800-1.
Yeah, nobody's going to be clean here.
Not even Orton. Yep, big brawl out of the back. Under the random table.
Yeah, you forget about the mats.
I think Jesse and Vince are above on that table, yeah.
Mm. What were you saying, G?
You forget about the mats being, around the ring. They weren't around the ring at that time, but they are now.
Yeah, no, I don't think they added mats for like a year or so. Well, actually longer than that, because when we get to that one with Steamboat and Jake, there was obviously no
mats. They were around for WrestleMania 3, though, I remember.
Yeah. I don't remember about WrestleMania 2.
Piper's locked himself in a dressing room. Hornet's trying to bash the door down. What a difference. Like, nowadays, there'd be 50 fucking referees around. So they got one old guy with a cigarette wrapped in his shirt.
Who would be the old guys breaking this up?
Come on, I got to take a piss. Let's go. We're done.
Let's see. Probably still Blackjack Lanza.
Lanza.
Arnie Skoland. The guy's got his...
Luthes.
Come on, I got the third
game of my...
Oh, change the polo shirt. Oh, no, it's actually a button-down shirt this time.
Oh, Mean Gene playing the organ.
He was quite the musician in 1985.
Yes, doing a little Tutti Frutti on the pregame show.
Yeah.
And here she comes, a blushing bride.
Her name is?
It's proof. If even this fat shit can find love, anybody can.
Let's see. She married Joyce Stasko.
Of course.
There she is.
Where's she from?
Probably like
Pittsburgh, Mississippi.
No Wikipedia link for Joyce Stasko.
Ugh. Andre all dressed up in his red trunks.
Tights. Yeah. I don't need a tuxedo.
I thought they had a match tonight.
Fuck you, boss. I wear what I want.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the reception. Where's the beer?
It's not often that he gets to look smaller than the other guy, so he probably was like, fuck it, I'm showing off.
Yes.
Hogan with the lifting belt on, the leather pants.
His slammy award attire.
Where those snakeskin boots, it looks like.
Yeah,
it's a great wedding.
Whose poor children are these?
Yes.
It was nice of Andre to dress for the occasion.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, look at that tux on Albano.
God. That shit. A lot of poundage in that ring.
It's what the... Pop those buttons on his tux.
Is Hogan on the bride's side? Is that...
Yes.
Me and Joyce DeWitt go way back, brother.
Yeah, that's actually Linda McMahon's second cousin removed.
Yes. Joyce DeWitt.
It's the only Joyce I know, brother.
Only in this episode will we have two Three's Company references. That is an awesome tie. At least the tie color matches the shirt, at least.
Cousin Luke is on the bride's side, too, so maybe they're related.
Joyce Stasko, do you take your cousin Elmer to be here?
Yeah.
Do you think this poor woman had any idea which of the wrestlers she was coming there to marry?
No. No, she was just told, you're marrying a guy with overalls, and she probably saw like Hillbilly Jim and said,
you're gonna marry a wrestler. Great. You're marrying this fat piece of shit.
And, Paul Orndorff, one of these really good-looking guys. Yeah, Uncle Elmer.
Uncle Elmer.
Who's he? I've never heard of him.
You can have Andre. He wasn't even dressed. At least he'll pay the bills.
Oh.
I mean, really, what was the point of having this?
Well, it's clearly entertaining. I mean,
it was clearly to put over the Hillbillies as the dominant faction in the World Wrestling Federation at that point. If you weren't a Hillbilly, man, you didn't belong.
It's like Hogan and Andre are standing there, like, legitimizing this thing, acting all solemn.
Is he sitting there going, is this my wife? Who it is? Where's Moolah?
At least Hillbilly.
So that was the groomsmen outfits? Yellow shirts and brown ties.
They got to look good for the pictures being taken afterwards.
There we go.
Sitting outside of some swamp at the Meadowlands.
Yeah, beautiful. Outside with the Metro Media Hotel. I wonder if that's where the reception was. They had to slog through the mud.
I think it would have been great if they put her in overalls.
She had a denim. Somebody just threw something at her.
Dungarees.
Stupid bitch. How dare you marry this guy?
It hit her hard, too. It hit her really hard.
No, that's what Elmer wants to do later.
He's going to squash her in fewer than 6 seconds.
Yeah.
Jerry Valiant wasn't so lucky earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's the closest Cousin Luke would ever get to a main eventer, standing next to Hogan at a fake wedding.
Who do you think she'd rather have sex with? Elmer, Albano, or Andre the Giant?
She'll take all three. It'll be the Big Joyce gangbang.
Three's company.
At least Andre will pay the hotel bill, at least.
Shit, the tub.
They don't even carry wallets.
Yeah.
And take money out of my sock. Oh, wait, excuse me. Wait, you're not my cousin. I like how he's like he can't even see.
No. He's trying to remember the words to the vows.
I think, Aaron, I think this is your stroke of the night right here.
Now, what's this again? What are we doing here?
What's this? You ain't my cousin.
He's shaking.
Where am I?
He's got hepatitis C also. This is where it all started.
Oh, man. This is frightening.
It was started with the Joyce gangbang. That's where it got passed around.
Yes.
The locker room.
We're going to miss the, trust me, we're going to miss these hillbillies in 1989.
To live on in your heart forever.
It's like Gary Capetta doing this, the priest.
Yeah. Here we go. Now business picks up. Here comes Roddy Piper to bust things up.
This is how you end a wedding.
Is this guy getting married too?
He's gonna show a video of them with Piper and her at some chapel in Vegas doing the drive-through thing. Yes. And
you're Roddy Piper. You damn straight I am.
Yeah.
You're the one that gave me a roofie.
And then we consummated the marriage.
He's gonna call
Dad.
Hillbilly Jim. Dad.
Dad.
That'd be a little weird.
You gotta love Roddy Piper. He's such a prick. I love.
He dressed for the occasion more than Andre did.
Yeah. I feel
Hulk
like
Hogan makes weightlifting belts fashionable at weddings.
And formal.
Yes.
Oh my God. Did you see the old camera? The fucking flash?
Oh wow.
I'm like, wow, it's old school.
Brought to you by Polaroid.
They're gonna go to the 1 hour photo the day after. And yes.
The photo mat that's in the parking
half
lot.
Half the pictures are gonna have people's fingers on the front.
Elmer just goes and takes off that shirt and puts on his photo mat polo to go work that shit.
Oh God! You kiss like a real cousin. Yeah.
It's like two carp in the ocean. Isn't that what's the Jesse line? It's like two carp kissing in the
two
the
carp
sea.
Kissing in the ocean.
Why is he moving his face like that?
So glad you're still in the family.
Now Hillbilly makes out with her. This is fucking weird.
Oh, yes. Lord.
I really find it hilarious. Didn't anybody tell Andre, can you at least put a shirt on?
Hey, you're not putting shirt on.
Yeah, it is an odd choice. And they're finally married.
Yeah, it'd be great
and
if you
fell
down the stairs.
Now the reception. In the barn.
There's dinner. Or the other cousin, one or the other.
It's the main course.
That's what a so disgrace. Beautiful. This is great.
This isn't the
all right. There's the second marriage. This is unbelievable. Exploitation of hillbillies.
I mean, you really can't make this shit up.
Nope.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was about to say, this is what you want to watch at 1:45 in the morning. There we go.
Here's our big Hoss team.
Yeah.
One of the greatest of the mid-80s tag teams.
What a change of pace from like that stupidity for these two killers.
Yeah.
We have another
match. I don't know about Bundy. I know they're not wrestling on this show. I don't think they are, but I'm not sure about Bundy, but I definitely think Stud would have been a world champion now.
I think they do have a match on this show.
Okay.
They were hyping it early. I'm not going to spoil it, but just
can't be that long. Yeah. About it.
All right. Well, I'll bring it up again when they get in the ring. It was so weird watching some of these early. They're here on the network. Some of those early world classes from like '82 when Bundy has hair. It's like so strange.
So Bundy was with Heenan. So it must have happened pretty quick after Mania.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think he's the only two guys that Battle of the Giants. Oh, I remember. I think I don't remember who Andre's because I know I think
probably Kamala too.
It's like a Hogan run in.
Oh man, it's Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas and his telephone.
Yeah.
Also, another big match should be kind of buried in the back here. Stud and Bundy against Andre and Tony Atlas.
A pretty loaded card here for. Mm-hmm. All right, so we can say it now. I don't know about Bundy, but definitely Stud would have been a world champion. Definitely. Oh, and Andre, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, you don't think they give Bundy the Mark Henry world title reign?
I think so. I'll say Bundy.
I could see that too. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm with you guys. I think Stud and Andre for sure, though.
Tony Atlas?
Probably not.
I can't imagine.
No.
He's more likely to get a world title shot off his Legends Hell shit than he was back then.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a cooking cool little matchup here. Andre and Bundy is a pretty good, cool matchup. One you don't see often. Vicious Andre. Choking Bundy around with his strap.
I mean, Andre just makes him look small, which is frightening.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes him look small and extra like doughy.
He's definitely paler. Definitely pastier.
You can tell how loose the ropes were back then, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Didn't it always seem like, maybe not, that the apron was, or the ring was lower? Like, it seemed like the, maybe not. It always seemed like height from the floor to the canvas was lower. Maybe it wasn't here. Maybe it's like AWA, but maybe it's just because these guys are big and they dwarf the ring. Tony Atlas just removed as tag team champion, right? Well, 2 years, I guess.
Yeah, Andre's using Tony Atlas's head as a battering ram.
Yes. Same referee. Wonder if he's still got the pack of Marlboro Reds in his in his sleeve.
Switch to Camels.
With his bell bottoms.
What's he got on, like, workout pants? What are those?
That's Tony Atlas.
Oh, Bundy, he's got some speed on that elbow. Jeez, it's really cruising.
Wow. Mm. When was the last time we saw someone who was just fat?
Husky Harris. Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bull Dempsey. Although Aaron doesn't get NXT, that's right.
Yeah.
I've been watching the specials. They're good.
Extra weighing in.
You know, when I talk about the weird sex stuff, you guys come down on me when I don't.
Oh, that was a terrible dropkick attempt by Tony Atlas there.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that Atlas just doesn't belong in this match, like when you look at the four guys.
How much would someone have to pay you to sleep with Big John Studd?
Not much.
He's a world champion. Oh, and the big splash.
And this has to be over soon, right? We still got the reception to go. Mm-hmm. Bump it up against our clock soon.
Oh, we got plenty left in this clip, so we got plenty left in it. Sure.
We don't want to miss that reception now.
We don't want to miss the two. The pigs may already be married by now. Gary Capetta might have, or Gary Jester, whatever the WCW guy was. Now the feud here. I guess it's been written that Stud and Andre legitimately did not like each other.
Really?
They had a good feud though.
Yeah, I heard about that too.
If Andre didn't like you, you were fucked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Who is a more believable son of these two? Ron Studd or the giant?
Ron Studd.
Wow, there's a name.
Wow. He was the Yeti, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Yeti!
The Yeti is here. And he's wrapped in mummy clothes for some reason.
There's actually... Let me see. John Minton Jr., who accepted his plaque. His son was on the fourth season of Tough Enough.
That I remember. I remember that for some reason.
Studd's kid, John Minton Jr.
Yeah.
What season was the Yeti on?
Of Tough Enough?
Yeah.
Three.
Three.
Good. Okay, cool.
The Yeti.
The Yeti, brother.
When my wife was pregnant, we referred to the incoming child as the Yeti.
Hmm.
And but she's like, please don't scream that at the hospital when it's coming out.
With Tony Atlas giving no help whatsoever, Hogan.
No, he was worthless in this match.
And we are finally through this match here. I like Stud and Money a lot. The match was very great.
Hogan's totally no selling that Tony Atlas is in the ring.
But I mean, like, what other mildly big baby face at the time could you have eat a pin or have the shit kicked out of him in a tag match? Atlas was probably it.
I guess so. I don't think Rock Johnson was still around.
Yeah, it was a fine choice. It's just, you know. Are we getting another fucking Hogan promo?
Here's Mean Gene with his seventh Hogan interview.
Jesus. At least let Tony Atlas talk.
Hogan, it's been 11 minutes since we spoke.
What do you have to say? You're wearing a different outfit now, so you must have something different to say.
I feel like this is like to reward you for like staying up. If you're a kid and you stayed up.
Here's Hogan one more time. Tony Atlas, get out of the ring. I know you're trying to maximize your little TV time that you get.
Go take your cellophone and your collard greens and get out of here.
I had my money in my clock. Well, at least that was a quick Hogan promo this time around. Let's go. I got a reception and a speech to give, brother.
Gotta go watch two pigs fuck, brother.
This Cincinnati Bengals truck.
Yeah.
What the hell is Gene doing now?
He's finding the band for the wedding reception.
Oh, please.
He's gonna go visit Boomer Esiason.
Look at that outfit. Did we skip ahead to like 1990s one? The one where they're in the
one with the one with him and Alfred.
What are they? What's he saying, Greedy?
He's at the zoo, and they're gonna go look at different types of animals. He's waiting for George Steele.
Why? Why?
Why not?
He looks so uncomfortable in his body language. He doesn't know where to put his hands in this getup.
George Steele just randomly hanging out with no shirt on, like Andre at a wedding.
Is that a
those
camel?
Those camels?
Yeah. And they're just doing a flashback to the last Saturday night's main event.
Oh, I hate Josh Steele. Yeah. Stupid hair.
Wasn't he a teacher, too?
Yes.
Isn't that like his...
Yep.
Yeah, I read his book.
Oh, brown cow.
He's actually very intelligent, believe it or
his,
not.
His timeline, 1985, was actually really, really good.
Oh, he did the one for 85?
For 85, really good stuff.
Mm.
Or no, not 85. That was Valentine. He did 86.
Steel did.
Hmm. Is that the oldest one, Greeny, that they did, 85?
No, they did Don Morocco, I think, did like 83.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are all really good, I've heard. I see those a lot at the conventions, those high spots timelines.
Gene just asked what type of tiger that was, and George said Detroit.
Oh, so that's where Jordan Duncan gets the Andre match from.
These marsupials. Okay, so this showed one. These weasels showed one, like, fucking another one with a picture of Bobby Heenan on it.
Yeah. Bobby's face on it.
This is very random and odd.
But they're not even weasels, they're lemurs. It's not even the right animal.
Steel core the hippo Bundy.
Nobody a quarter to one in the morning knows the difference between a lemur and a and a weasel. They're lucky they're awake. I cannot believe they had to stick this on here.
Yeah, it feels very out of place.
Very out of place.
Gene, they not have
Gene,
one more
Gene
match.
Gene wearing his wedding ring and a Rolex in the zoo. Smooth.
There he goes. See you,
I think there's one match left, and I think there's a...
Is there another match left? How long is this fucking thing? I thought it was 45 minutes, Greeny.
That's what I thought, too.
Nope. This is an hour, 4 minutes, and 35 seconds.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, look at this. Look at this team.
What do we got? Oh, we got about 10 minutes left.
Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Yes.
Leaping Lanny Poffo with the ultimate John Oates look.
Yes, and Tony Gurria.
Look now, out, I know, boy, Justin, that must, that's going to be your favorite segment we just watched.
Yes. You like George Steele in the woods, JR.
It's like a shit in the woods. Make him eat it.
Here are your...
It's the luscious one.
Your world tag team champions.
Put that cigar out.
So you think the Valiants just rode into the show together?
Probably. I'll say the same thing. Hey, brother, you want to make a quick buck? Get squashed by a sweaty, stinky hillbilly for 6 seconds?
Lenny gets the 80s hair award.
Yeah, sure. Lenny.
Yeah, that was bad. Comb over with the sideburns. Where are they going to fit the reception? Well, there's still 12 minutes left.
12? I thought it was 10.
12.
Jesus.
It's a 12.
Yeah. Oh,
did you like the Dream Team, Scott?
My brother was a big, my brother was a huge Dream Team fan. He loved the Dream. Well, he was a big Greg Valentine guy, so. He liked the Dream Team. I was stunned when they beat Wyndham Rotunda, though, because obviously back then you didn't know the sheets or whatever that they were leaving or anything like that.
Yeah, the cigar. Mm-hmm.
I liked Luscious John. I wonder if he's still doing the whole stand up comedy thing. That's what his big thing was when he left wrestling.
So when did the Dream Team win the belts? How long
August.
Before this? Okay.
August, so a couple months.
They held those belts a while. August
they did until April.
April, yeah.
All right, here's an interesting one. Is Greg Valentine a world champion today?
Mm. Talented enough, but no, I don't think he wins it.
I don't think he's Greeny? Interesting enough.
I love Valentine and that era, but today, no.
G?
I don't think so.
I almost find Valentine's almost like a Sheamus, you know? Solid guy, solid worker, but I mean, even though Sheamus didn't
win. No, I just have Sheamus' charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't picture Valentine yelling, fella.
Fella!
Wyndham and Rotunda in the crowd, Wyndham with his eye patch on after you get the cigar jammed in it, right? So they lost the title.
Yep. This is a. Where did they get this team for? This is like a primetime match right here.
Yeah.
Those are pretty. I wonder if. I'm guessing Savage had debuted because the Wrestling Classic's in a month and he's there. Surprised he's not on the show.
I think Savage debuted in like June.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he's not
he's
on the show.
Definitely on the next one.
But I'm surprised they didn't promote. You know, they didn't pimp him hard on the show. Instead, we get 11 Hogan promos.
All right. So while this match is going on, I want to talk about something real quick. I don't know if anyone has seen. Chris Travis, he's the wrestler over for PCW, battling stomach cancer in a really bad situation professionally and personally, of course, going through chemo, really not having any income coming in. So there is a Indiegogo campaign for him. You can find the campaign on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, or the website. from Stephen Flutter. So if you, I think if you just search Trav Aid, the Chris Travis Cancer Fight Fund, they've raised 2,849 pounds with a goal of 5,000. Campaign ends December 11, 2014. So they had to remove a big portion of his stomach. They had a tumor in it, 18 weeks of chemo coming up. So Chris Travis, wrestler for PCW, just wanted to get that out there. It was brought to my attention, so I wanted to share that while we had a minute.
Definitely say a prayer for him. That's not easy.
So Lanny Poffo makes a tag tag to Tony Garea.
Hot tag to Tony Garea coming out of here like a...
This is no way around that. So, that's what we're going to do.
Missed a really great moonsault by Poffo while we were talking
that
too.
Very good.
And he hit it, too. I thought he was going to miss it.
Beefcake in his early Zodiac tights here.
Yes.
Is Beefcake a world champion today?
Yeah, I think he may be. No? I think he may have been.
I think he's in the same boat as Hammer. I think he's a good, charismatic, upper mid-card guy, but I can never see him as world champion.
So I'm thinking, like, if we talk about this Beefcake, maybe not. But if we move, like, Bumper Beefcake.
Right. I think, like, 89 Beefcake, maybe.
I don't know. What do you think, G?
I'm going to say no. I think he's in the same class as Valentine.
Oh, I can't wait till we get to talk about Duggan in this light. You're going to be so mad, Scott. God.
Definitely not be able to. I think he'd be a world champion just to piss me off. That's why. He'd be managing. I'll ban him. Is Garea going to tap? Oh, there's that one referee we always used to see back in the day. I don't want to try to surmise what nationality he is. But.
A little title defense for the Dream Team.
Get the belts. Pitched Poffo. So there you go, JR, right up your alley. Solid TV title defense.
Mm-hmm. For our wonderful heel tag champs.
For the Dream Team.
The luscious one with his skinny green tie.
We were a month and a half away from Starrcade 85, the gathering. Ended up being probably one of the best pay-per-views of all time for Crockett.
So I believe all that's left now is finally our reception. We've been waiting with bated breath.
Yes. Wonder what the dinner spread is. I think we saw them in the coops. Crawling around on the floor. Wow, they are like in this ring for a while. There we go. What the hell is that there she's eating? Orndorff. He's dressed more than Andre.
Sitting at the same table looking.
Yeah, he's got a decent little outfit on.
He's got a nice little blazer on, polo shirt.
It's a weird table here. Vince, Jesse, Hogan, and Orndorff dining together. Jesse had the nice tux on. Now he's changed out of it into this.
It was old Adrian Adonis tag team outfit.
I mean, just imagine if this was your wedding reception. How fucking depressing.
Oh yeah. And Hogan wears wrist tape to weddings.
Oh, you gotta keep those wrists nice and safe.
Never know when I knock someone out at a wedding, brother.
But this would be a good wedding table, though. Vince, Hogan, Orndorff, and Jesse. Who
yeah.
want that at their wedding? It's tremendous. Better looking than the head table.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to go through some of the awards now, Scott, before
we can get out of here? All right. Okay. Best match.
I'd say Orndorff Piper.
Yeah, I agree. G?
Aaron, Richie.
I'll say Orndorff Piper as well.
Aaron?
I'd say Orndorff Piper, too.
All right, Greeny.
Orndorff Piper, hands down.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Best Federation era moment?
Probably this, the Hillbilly Wedding.
And Fat Albano shoving his face?
Yeah, just hillbillies in general. Anyone disagree?
No, not at all.
No, I have to go with you on this one.
Yeah.
All right, most 80s.
I think we might be looking at it. Lanny Poffo with that mustache. And
Lanny Poffo's John Oates hair?
Yes. Elmer's wife kind of looks like Rhea Perlman. I'd say the Poffo. Poffo's my 80s pick, I think.
Yeah, I like
Poffo. Yeah, I'll go with that.
Okay. Yeah, I like Poffo.
John Oates hair.
Look out, boy. She'll chew you up.
Elmer.
He's a hillbilly eater.
All right. Best hair. Other than Poffo's.
Probably Orndorff, I guess, this time around. I don't think there's much better.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know how you can vote against Poffo for the hair.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. I have to go with Poffo. All
right, Poffo.
Because I said it.
We might have to clean up those two categories. Yeah. They probably get a lot of similar.
Very similar, yeah. And let's grade it, JR.
It felt actually a little long. I mean, I don't know if it's because we watched two in a row. It had a really good match, though. Like, I think, and I wanted to also start ranking the best overall match. I think, to me, Piper Orndorff is the best match we've seen out of the two shows.
Yes, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll go 5.5.
Okay. G?
Tiny Tim is there, too? Jesus.
Oh, my.
I say, besides the Orndorff-Piper match, I didn't really care for anything else, so I'm going to go 5.
Aaron?
I'm going to go 4.5. I like the Orndorff-Piper match, but I didn't like the show as much as the other one, so 4.5.
Okay. Greeny?
I'm going to go a little bit higher. I'm going to say a 6 just because of the Piper and Orndorff match and the entertainment value of the whole wedding stuff.
Okay. JR?
5.5.
So that's like 10, 15, about 22. So... Yeah, figure, yeah, a little over, like 5.5, 5.75.
I'd say 5. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Tiny Tim, is he giving them a ukulele as a gift?
Get through the grades, and this thing is still going. Oh, my God, there's still 3 minutes left.
Well, why don't we'll start saying our goodbyes here as this wraps up. So,
yes.
Scott, we'll be back tomorrow night. You have a new episode of Main Event. Do you want to reveal your guest? Do you want to?
I won't reveal my guest. We have JR making his second appearance in the Place to Be Network. CRZ himself, Christopher Robin Zimmerman, is going to join us. Dive in with the three of the core four, and we're going to have a special little game we're going to play.
Awesome.
To kind of open up everybody's fandom that we really haven't talked about. So tomorrow night's going to be a great show. Looking forward to it.
Very excited. CRZ and back about with PTB.
Yes. And what about the Kevin Kelly Show?
Episode 20 of the Kevin Kelly Show. We're going to talk about some memories of the first 20 episodes, some of our favorite moments. And we also have Kyle O'Reilly from Red Dragon, Ring of Honor's one of their premier tag teams. He'll be on with us. Of course, we had his partner Bobby Fish a few weeks ago. And we'll have Kyle on this episode. And then Monday night, Scott, we're back. Vengeance 2003. And next Wednesday will be our Halloween spectacular episode as well. So, of course, this will be our, what, fourth one?
Yeah.
Fourth Halloween special. Very excited there. And that's it for us. So, as Jesse Ventura wraps up the wedding ceremony with a special speech, Hillbilly's not very happy. And, of course, this is about to devolve into a big food fight.
And he gets thrown to the cake.
Yes, he does, of course. So, all right, for Jason Greenhouse, for Aaron George, and Dr. G, George Ribolino, we are out for this episode of PTV Talk tomorrow night, and then back here Monday for Vengeance. Thank you, everyone. Everyone, take care. A black suit and a cane like my Greeny can tiptoe to the tulip, so chill, hillbillies.
Yes.
What the hell is that guy with it? In the back, very creepy with that kid.
Yeah, really? What is that, his date?
Maybe that's last one. How much to, like, how much did he get paid to have sex with the whole band? Like, they each get a turn.
Oh my god, we have another Hogan promo? Good grief.
This fucking thing don't want to end.
We're out of here, Giovanni.